If your pest control company has you wondering what stresses you out more, the bugs they miss or the bill they send you, then it's time to ditch big corporate pest control and call your local guys, Jefferson Pest Control. We have a combined 70 years of experience in dealing with pests including termites, ants, spiders, roaches, rodents, and more. We're local, we're fair, we answer the phone, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're Jefferson Pest Control. You can find us on Google.
Back here at Tiger Field tonight for another great game. It'll be between your Reading Colt 45s and the West Coast Kings. It's going to be the first game of a three-game series against the Kings tonight. Earlier this week, the Colt 45s played, they played TKB Baseball and then Athletica Baseball. And so far, they are undefeated through seven games. So they'll look to continue their win streak and fend off a defeat here once again versus the Kings. I'm going to go ahead and give you the starting lineups for tonight. For your West Coast Kings, it's going to be Joey D'Amelio leading off. He'll be playing center field tonight. Following him in that number two slot will be Josiah Rodriguez playing second base. It'll then be Seth Gwynn. He'll be in right field tonight, followed by Drew Giannini. He'll be playing third base, hot corner over there. Jaden Lee will be in left field, batting fifth, followed by Mike Baker, the shortstop. It's going to be Tyler Smith as the designated hitter, batting seventh, and then Riley Pimentel, batting eighth, playing first base. Behind the plate will be Jack Lyle. He'll be batting ninth. And then on the mound will be Ben Brown for the West Coast Kings. And before I give you the Colt 45 starting lineup, we're going to go ahead and listen to the national anthem. It'll be presented by Ron Gasecki tonight. Was a great rendition of our national anthem, once again by Ron Gasecki. So I'm going to go ahead and give you that starting lineup for your Reading Colt 45. Tonight it's going to be Colby Raphael starting in center field once again. He'll be leading off. He'll be followed by Griffith Fenn playing right field, and then Kyle Norton will be in that number three slot playing Juan Carlos Camarena behind the plate, and he'll be batting cleanup tonight, followed by Moss. Sorry, I apologize. That's center Moss. He'll be playing third base. It's going to be Braxton Riley hitting that number six slot, playing left field, and he's going to be followed by McGuire Smith. So this will be my first time seeing McGuire Smith. He may have played earlier in the week, but we unfortunately weren't broadcasting the weekday game. So it'll be McGuire Smith in that DH spot, batting seventh. Followed by Joel Calderon Serrano. He'll be playing shortstop once again, batting eighth. Finally, it's going to be Dusty Vila batting ninth, and he'll be back at second base tonight. It'll be Spencer Reif out onto the mound for the Colt 45s, and he had a really great outing last time he pitched for him. I believe he gave up just one run through about six innings. So Reif will get on the bump and see what he can do. Right now, players are just getting ready to take the field. I'm interested to see how the West Coast Kings prepare or have prepared against this really powerhouse team we've got this year in our Colt 45s. Once again, the Colt 45s are 7-0 to start off the year, and they've just been playing tremendously. Great defense, great offense, and they have not been allowing a lot of runs to score. Impressed by the Colt 45s pitching this year. The starting pitching in particular has been pretty lights out against every team they've played, specifically Santa Rosa, the Rosebuds, and TKB, who we saw last weekend. And last weekend was when we saw that tremendous, tremendous no-hitter from Winchester. And that was a pretty special moment for him, and just kind of was the epitome of how these pitchers have been performing this year against their opponents. So we'll see if we can get another lights-out performance against the Kings from Spencer Reif tonight as the Colt 45s prepare to take the field. We're having the plate meeting right now. We've got a three-man crew umpiring tonight, and the West Coast Kings are out getting their bats ready. First three in the lineup. Looks like they're taking some practice hacks over there. Now, this is probably a good time to mention that my colleague, Jacob Green, is not here tonight, unfortunately. If you've been tuning in to our games lately, you'll know that I've been playing with we've been announcing with a two-man crew. It's been myself and Jacob. Unfortunately, he's participating in a bass fishing tournament for Simpson University down south a ways. So he unfortunately won't be here tonight or tomorrow, but he will be back Sunday, which unfortunately is the day I will not be back. So I won't be coming back to broadcast for the Colt 45s after tomorrow night, unfortunately. It's been a great run so far, and I'm going to miss announcing with my colleague Jacob for sure. So we appreciate you tuning in once again. If you miss Jacob, he'll be back on Sunday, and I will be gone. So it's going to be the Colt 45s now taking the field. Spencer Reif will hop on the mound and begin to warm up. And we've got our ball boys, sorry, ball boy and ball girl, having a little conversation with our home plate umpire. He's letting them know what he expects out of them. Now I'm just kidding. Looks like he's just grabbing a couple balls, and now he'll give them a couple of high fives as well. It's going to be Braden and Nova. Those are two ball children tonight. One of them ball boy, one of them ball girl. So Reif is now out on the mound. He's going to start warming up. Once again, it's Juan Carlos Camarena behind the plate. And Camarena is one of the better catchers I've seen at this level, especially when it comes to blocking. He was crucial in Winchester's performance, his no-hitter last weekend, made sure that even walks were limited. I believe it was just one walk on the night for Winchester that kept him from a perfect game. But the pitch calling in that game from Camarena was phenomenal. And even a couple pitches that looked like they might get away, he was right on top of to keep him in front. So I'm expecting a great performance out of him again tonight, as I am expecting a great performance from Reif and this entire defense. I don't think there's anybody out here on defense for the Colt 45s that I don't have supreme confidence in. They're all real solid defensive ball players, and pretty much all of them can hit the ball real well, too. We've got a couple particularly fast players as well in Dusty Vila, Colby Rafael, Griffith Fenn, and, of course, Braxton Riley, who have all picked up a few steals for themselves over the course of the season. Now Reif is going to come set and deliver his last warm-up pitch. That one's going to be bobbled a bit by Camarena, but now he'll throw on down to second. One of the great things about Camarena, too, is he has an absolute cannon for an arm. So if his pitcher gives him a chance to throw out a runner with a fast windup out of the stretch, then you can bet Camarena is going to get the job done. So it's going to be number 21, Joey D'Amelio, the center fielder, up to the plate. He's going to step into that right-handed batter's box, stands at about 6'1", and Rife will get ready to deliver his first pitch of the game. Here it is. Fastball in there for strike one. That one popped right out of the glove of Camarena. Looked like he just had a little trouble handling it, but still a called strike, so it'll be no balls and a strike to start off D'Amelio. Nice fastball there from Rife as he once again takes his sign. Now here's the windup. That one's going to be in the dirt, ball one, so that one was almost spiked. Camarena reached over there and picked it out of the dirt, but it'd be a ball nonetheless. So, 1-1 count now to D'Amelio. Rife comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled way back into the parking lot. That one just nailed the car. So, that's unfortunate. Time and time again, we see folks parking as close as they can to the stadium, only to be gravely disappointed when their car is hit with foul ball. The 1-2 pitch now. High fastball. That one's going to miss a little bit outside the zone. And an interesting thing about D'Amelio, he's standing at the very back corner of the batter's box. So he's real close. His toes are just about on that inside line as he takes another fastball outside for ball three. It'll be a full count. But his back foot is also on that back line of the box. The pitch comes in. That one swung on and lifted high into shallow right field. Coming in on it's going to be Fenn, and he will make the catch in the sun. And that's a routine fly ball right there, but really kind of a tough play. He's got the sun shining right in on him right now. Very little of the field is covered by the shade, even though the stands here, Tiger Field, are completely covered by shade. It's very comfortable. The field is not. So nice job by Fenn, keeping the sun out of his eyes and tracking that ball all the way to the glove for out number one. So now it'll be Josiah Rodriguez, the second baseman, and he's going to see a fastball from Rife to start him off. That one comes in there for a strike. And he's standing at just about the same spot that D'Amelio was in the box, right there on the back corner. Here's the pitch. And that one's a little outside. Looked like an off-speed, maybe a changeup. So it's a ball and a strike now to Josiah Rodriguez. He's a little bit further off the plate, but low fastball comes in and makes it a 2-1 count. He's still pretty far back there in the box, so they know that Rife is pretty capable with his velocity, and they definitely don't want to be caught off guard as Rodriguez drives one into deep left center field. That one's going to go off the wall, fielded by Rafael. The throw in is going to be not in time, and he's safe at second with a double. It was a nice effort from Rafael, the center fielder, coming in on that ball. He threw it over his cutoff. And it was a pretty decent throw to Dusty Vila, the second baseman. Unfortunately, just not quite in time to catch Rodriguez, who has himself a double. So it'll be one out with a runner on second for Seth Gwynn, the right fielder, who's up to the plate now. And he's even closer in on the plate than our leadoff batter, Joey D'Amelio. Here's the pitch. That one's on the inside corner. Sorry, outside corner for strike one. So it'll be an 0-1 count now to Seth Gwynn as Rife peers down and takes his sign. They're holding on that runner at second. He's taking a pretty humble lead. And now Camarena, the catcher, is going to call time and head out on to the mound. So it looks like they might be getting mixed up with their signs a little bit. So he's going to go talk to him, see what's going on, and they're going to try to figure some things out. Now he'll put back his mask and head on back behind the plate. So he'll get back down in the squat. Rife kicks around some dirt on the mound and steps back on the rubber. And that runner on second, Rodriguez, is going to take his lead. Here comes the pitch from Rife. Off speed, misses the outside corner. It'll be a ball and a strike for Gwynn as he peers back now. Rife, looking down, takes his sign. Now he'll come set, checking back the runner. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted high into left field. That's going to be down the third baseline. Ranging over is going to be the left fielder, Riley, and he will make the catch. So another nice catch from the outfield gives Rife two outs. He's still got to deal with that runner on second, but a better situation from here. And that ball a lot like the one that Joey DiMilio hit, just kind of the opposite side of the field. It was down the third baseline, lifted high into the air, got way under it, and Riley did a nice job of chasing after it, making the catch. So it's going to be the lefty, Drew Giannini, to step into the left-handed batter's box. He's the third baseman for the Kings. He's going to see a curveball for first pitch, and that one's going to be in there for strike one. Nice attacking pitch from Spencer Rife to start off Giannini. Rife now comes set, checks the runner. Here's the pitch, high fastball. And now that middle infield not holding on the runner, Rodriguez, as tight as they were in the last at-bat. They've got two outs, so some room to work with. He's got a pretty generous lead over there. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, ball two. So it'll be a 2-1 count now to Giannini. Rife looking down, takes his sign. Another pretty generous lead over there from Rodriguez. Calderon holding him on a little bit. Here's the pitch. Another curveball. That one is going to miss the outside corner of the zone. So quickly, Giannini has three balls and just one strike. Again, there are two outs, and Rodriguez leads off of second. He hit a double earlier in the inning. This one's going to be a fastball, fouled off back into the net. So the count moves full now, and we're going to see an action pitch here. Three balls, two strikes, two outs. We're in the top of the first inning as Rife peers in. Still got Rodriguez over there at second. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into deep right field. Chasing after it is Fenn. He will make the catch at the warning track. Fenn was playing that position perfectly out in right field. He was already pretty deep, and he just had to range over and make the catch on the warning track. So three outs, but the West Coast Kings seem to be coming out hitting the ball hard today. We'll go to the bottom half of the inning when we come back. Remember, folks, Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. So go ahead and stop by today.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. Short break there, but we're here in the bottom half of the first inning. It's going to be Ben Brown up on the mound, tall right-handed pitcher for the West Coast Kings. And leading off for your Reading Colt 45s tonight is going to be the speedy center fielder, Colby Raphael. So he's going to go out and try to time up some of these warm-up pitches from Ben Brown. Then he'll see if he can get something started for the Colt 45s. If you weren't here in the top of the first inning, no runs scored from the West Coast Kings. Spencer Rife on the mound tonight for the Reading Colt 45s. However, Josiah Rodriguez hit a monster double that just missed being a home run to left center field by about maybe 6 or 7 feet. So it was right there on the wall, bounced off the wall, and then Colby Raphael actually made a pretty good effort to throw him out at second. It was a hard hit ball, line drive, but Rodriguez was able to beat out the throw. Had he gotten a little bit higher of a launch angle on that one, he probably would have put it out. He definitely had the exit velocity for it, but nonetheless, a good job from Spencer Rife by not allowing the Kings to score off of that double, even though they only had one out at the time. But he got two quick outs from Seth Gwynn and Drew Giannini. And now we'll see Colby Raphael coming up against Ben Brown. Raphael steps in the box. Here comes the first pitch from Brown. It's going to be a high fastball. It'll just miss the top of the strike zone. Folks, it's a cool 98 degrees here at Tiger Field as the 1-0 pitch comes in. That one's going to be just off the outside corner for ball two. I know it may not sound cool, but actually, all of the stands right now are in the shade. So if you're thinking about coming to a ball game but worried about the heat, don't worry too much. Everything is shaded. The weather's nice. As a quick breaking ball comes in for a strike, that'll make it a 2-1 count now to Rafael. But come on, bring the full family down. It's a great time here at Tiger Field to watch a ball game. 2-1 pitch. This one's going to be lifted into shallow right field. Backing up is the second baseman. That's Rodriguez, and he will make the catch. So a weak pop-up to shallow right puts away Rafael for the first out of the inning. And now we're going to see Griffith Fenn, the right fielder. And we know that Fenn has some real pop. Through the first series of the season against the Rosebuds, Fenn was hitting about 700 through those first three games. So we know he's got a lot of potential there in that left-handed batter's box. He's always hitting the ball hard, as he's going to see the first pitch from Brown. Check swing, no appeal, so it'll be a ball and no strikes now. And we'll see if Fenn can get something started here for the Colt 45s. Wind up now from Brown. Fastball out, hits the outside corner for strike one. It'll be a ball and a strike to Fenn now. And we'll see what Brown throws at him here. 1-1 pitch on the way. Swung on and fouled sharply to the right side. It's going to hit the net. And now Brown will get a new ball. We've got Kyle Norton on deck right now. Juan Carlos Camarena is in the hole. Again, we've got one out here in the bottom of the first. Here's the pitch. Curveball just misses the outside corner for ball two. Folks, if you remember the last time I was broadcasting last weekend, I had a bit of a cough, and it's pretty much gone away as the 2-2 pitch comes in. That one's going to be swung on and driven foul over to the left side. That was a nice line drive to the opposite field from Fenn. Just couldn't keep it fair. The cough is mostly gone, but it's still kind of bugging me a little bit, so if you hear me coughing, I apologize. But it'll be a 2-2 count once again for Fenn. Here comes the pitch. High fastball. That'll be ball three, so it'll fill up the count now. 3-2. As, once again, Griffith Fenn is looking to get things started here in the bottom of the first. Brown peers down, gets a sign. Now the pitch. That one's going to be spiked in the dirt. Ball four. So, unfortunately for the Kings, Brown loses control of that full count payoff pitch, and that'll put a runner on first with one out, and Kyle Norton, a hard-hitting first baseman, up to the plate. Norton, also a lefty, getting ready to go here against Ben Brown, as the catcher, Jake Lyle, heads out to have a brief conversation with his pitcher, and now he'll come back. All right. So, now Norton's going to step into that batter's box as Brown looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll check over at first base on the runner. Come set. Here's the pitch. Fastball hits the outside corner, strike one. Nice pitch there from Brown. Catches the outside part of the zone. Now he'll look down and take his sign. Fenn over there getting a pretty good-sized lead. The 0-1 pitch on the way. Fenn goes. This one's a line drive into right field. That's going to be a base hit. They're going to send Fenn around second, and he will be safe standing up at third. And that's a nice piece of hitting from Kyle Norton, the first baseman. That was a hard hit ball. First baseman had no chance to get to it. It was hit over to his right side pretty low. But I would have to guess the exit velocity on that thing was probably somewhere in the 90s. So, nice piece of hitting from Norton. And that's going to bring in Juan Carlos Camarena. Once again, we've only got one out here in the bottom of the first. Colt 45 is already threatening with runners on first and third as Ben Brown looks down to take his sign. Now he'll come set. Checks the runner at third. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be in the dirt. And you can tell Norton kind of itching to get sent over there at first base. So it'll be a 1-0 count, and I wouldn't be surprised if they went ahead and sent Norton trying to draw a throw from the catcher Lyle so they could score Fenn from third. Now Brown will come set. Here's the pitch. Sure enough, runner goes. Throw down is not in time. And second baseman who took that throw from the catcher, Lyle, kind of stared at the umpire in disbelief for a second. It looks like the umpire was about ready to make that out call. Fenn stayed at third, so the Colt 45s won't get a run off of that one, but they'll take the force off. As Brown once again comes set, it's a 2-0 count. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be almost in the dirt. And now Brown is in danger of loading up the bases here at the bottom of the first inning with just one out. It's a 3-0 count to Juan Carlos Camarena. That was a really nice throw down to second from Rodriguez, right on the money. From Lyle. I think Rodriguez, the second baseman, might have just missed the tag, perhaps. Here's the 3-0. And that's going to be a fastball in there for strike one. So three balls and a strike now as Ben Brown fends off the walk. He's not doing his pitch count any favors here so far as he gets set. Now delivers the 3-1. That one's going to be fouled back into the net. So now the count will fill up. Good job from Brown kind of battling back after going down 3-0. But we'll see what kind of resilience Juan Carlos Camarena shows in this at-bat as he was looking in the eyes of a walk, but now he's facing a full count. Here comes the 3-2 pitch. Hits the bottom of the zone. Strike three called. So Camarena will be sat down looking. And that pitch was close. One of those ones that you just got to swing at with two strikes. But you could tell Camarena was kind of looking for that walk still. So it's going to be Sutter Moss up to the plate. Now, Ben Brown, he did a great job of getting out of tricky at-bat there. Went down 3-0, but came back for the strikeout. He still got runners at second and third as the pitch comes in to Moss. That one's going to be low, almost in the dirt for ball one. But now, with runners on second and third, we'll see if Brown can really get himself out of this jam without allowing any runs to score. He comes set. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. That one was almost in the dirt again, but it got a chase from Sutter Moss, the third baseman. As now Brown will step back up on the rubber, looks down and takes his sign. Now comes set. 1-1 pitch on the way. High fastball. This is the zone just by a little bit. It'll be two balls and a strike to Sutter Moss. They're not holding on those runners too tight, so Griffith Fenn over there at third, getting a pretty good-sized lead. Brown comes set, 2-1 pitch. That one's going to be low, almost gets away from the catcher, Lyle, but he does a good job of reaching over and backhanding that one. So another three-ball count here to Sutter Moss. It's Brown's second consecutive one, and we'll see if he can come back like he did against Camarena. He comes set. Here's the 3-1 pitch. Swung on and grounded to the second baseman. It's going to go under his legs. One run will score. Now another run comes in to score. And just like that, it's 2-0 Colt 45s. That's an E4 for sure. It's Josiah Rodriguez, who had trouble putting the tag on Kyle Norton on the steal, I believe. So he's got to be feeling kind of rough after that one. It was a pretty softly hit ball. Had a little bit of spin to it as it came right off the end of Sutter Moss's bat. And the second baseman, Rodriguez, actually called off the first baseman, Pimentel, as the pitch to Braxton Riley comes in high. Now a back pick attempt from Lyle, the catcher, is not quite in time to catch Moss. Anyways, Rodriguez called off the first baseman, who was also ranging over, and went over to it, put down his glove, and it just went right underneath it. So it'll be a 1-0 count now to Braxton Riley. Ben Brown comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. And that one looks like it barely missed a car. So it'll be a ball and a strike to Braxton Riley. But you got to feel a little bit for this pitcher, Ben Brown. He had runners on second and third with just one out, battled back, and then got that really nice ground ball with two outs from Moss, but his defense just couldn't pick it up behind him. 1-1 pitch. That one's going to be fouled off into the net right behind Riley. So the count now moves to a ball and two strikes, and Ben Brown is going to have his resilience tested a bit here. We'll see if he can execute some damage control. Again, he's got Sutter Moss on first off of the error that scored two runs. Braxton Riley in the batter's box. 1-2 count here. Brown comes set. Here's the pitch. Off-speed pitch. Barely misses the inside corner of the zone. A nice breaking ball from Ben Brown there, but that'll even up the count. 2 balls and 2 strikes. So it'll be 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs now as Sutter Moss leads off of first. He's taking a pretty generous lead. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded to the shortstop. He'll have it. Throw on the run is in time for out number 3. So a nice play there from Mike Baker, the shortstop, to get Braxton Riley, who almost legged that one out, believe it or not. And now, after scoring 2 runs off of a costly error from the second baseman, Josiah Rodriguez, Colt 45s will look to defend their lead in the top of the second. Folks, remember, this game is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Cape Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Go ahead and stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Up to the plate for the Kings. He's playing left field tonight as Spencer Wright gets set and delivers a fastball low for ball one. So it'll be a quick 1-0 count now to start off Lee as he gets back in the batter's box. Reif comes set and now delivers. Swing and a miss. Nice off-speed pitch there from Reif. Gets a whiff from Jaden Lee. And that'll even up the count as a ball and a strike. So Reif will come set and deliver. Here's the pitch. It's going to be a high fastball. So 2 balls and a strike now to Jaden Lee. Reif working quickly here. The pitch. This one's going to be driven sharply into right field. Coming in is Griffith Fenn, and he will make the catch for out number 1. So a nice job from Spencer Reif of pitching to contact. But I got to say, that's probably the third or fourth really hard hit ball we've seen through just an inning and a third. So we had the really hard hit double out to the wall that, if it had been lifted just a little more, would have been a home run from Rodriguez earlier in the inning. As Reif comes set and delivers, that's a fastball in there for strike 1. Then we had another line drive out in the right field, I believe from Giannini, and then that one from Jaden Lee. Now the pitch to Baker is going to be outside, but it'll hit the outside corner for strike 2. So Reif now in a quick 0-2 count. Like I said, he's working quickly this inning. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded high in the air to the third baseman, Moss. He'll step, gather, and throw him out for out number 2. That ball was hit sharply, but right into the ground, just kind of skyrocketed. Took only 2 bounces before it reached the glove of Sutter Moss, who was able to easily throw across the diamond for out number 2 and get Mike Baker. So it'll be Tyler Smith, the designated hitter up to the plate as he sees a breaking ball off the inside corner for ball one. Smith is a tall guy, I'd guess about 6 feet 2 inches. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be lifted high into right center field. In is Fenn. He will get under it and make the catch for out number three. So a nice quick inning from Spencer Wright. Did a great job pitching to contact in that one. And that'll once again bring up the Colt 45s for the bottom of the second inning. The score remains 2-0 in favor of your Colts. Remember, folks, tonight's Reading Colt 45 sponsor is Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way. They're an all-cloth car wash, and they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. So stop by today, Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Hello, this is Rollin from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind-rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the second inning here between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings. It's going to be Ben Brown out onto the mound. In the bottom of the first, he got himself into a tough situation with runners on second and third and just one out. Came back with a nice strikeout against the catcher, Juan Carlos Camarena. Unfortunately, the two runs scored on him off of an error from his second baseman, Rodriguez, as he delivers, and that's going to be a blue hit into center field from number 33, McGuire Smith. So, once again, this is my first time seeing Smith in action for the Colt 45s. He's a high schooler, still hasn't, I would imagine, a senior, high school senior. He's one of the few high schoolers on this Colt 45's roster, but he starts off the night with a nice base hit out in the center field, and that'll bring up Joel Calderon Serrano. Here comes the pitch to Serrano. He shows bunt, and he'll bunt straight through that one. A back pick from the catcher, Lyle, is not going to be in time. That one actually almost got away from the first baseman, Pimentel. And now Serrano is going to look back and take a couple of signs before stepping back into the box. Ben Brown looks down and takes a sign before taking a pretty long look at the runner over there at first. Now he'll come set. It'll be an 0-1 count. Here comes the pitch. Nice breaking ball. Totally fooled Calderon there. That's in there for a strike. So it'll be no balls and two strikes. And you could tell Calderon didn't know what was coming there. Looked like he kind of wanted to swing, but it's too late. 0-2 count now. Runner leading off of first. Brown comes set. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So Calderon Serrano goes down swinging. And that's going to bring up the number nine slot in Dusty Vila, the second baseman. So he'll step in to that left-handed batter's box as McGuire Smith leads off of first. Brown now checking Smith back at first. He's taking a pretty humble lead over there. Now he'll come set. Here comes the pitch. Check swing. Home plate umpire is going to say he went. So it'll be no balls and a strike here to Dusty Vila. As Brown once again looks back Smith over there at first. 0-1 pitch now on the way. Off speed. Misses the outside corner. There's a breaking ball there. Didn't look like Brown had total command over that one. So it'll be a ball and a strike and an out. And a runner on first. Vila gets ready for the pitch. 1-1 on the way.
swung on and fouled back over the left side of the stands. That one was a high inside fastball, but Vila was late on it, kind of got jammed up a little bit, and it goes foul. So a ball and two strikes now is Dusty Vila going to have to protect a little bit. Still, you've got Smith leading off over there at first. Ball and two strikes, as Brown comes set. Here's the pitch. Another breaking ball. Once again, just misses that outside corner. Home plate umpire tonight. Seems like he's got a bit tighter of a zone than what we've seen so far this season from a lot of our home plate umpires. Now a throw over to first will not be in time as Smith slides back in safely. Brown will look back and take his sign. Now Brown comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled sharply over there to the left side. Foul. So two balls and two strikes still for Dusty Vila. And now he's going to adjust his batting gloves. Remember, folks, it's a 2-0 ball game. Colt 45's lead here in the bottom of the second. As Smith leads off again. 2-2 pitch coming in. Here it is. Swung on and fouled right back into the home plate umpire. And I'm not exactly sure where that one got him, but he's going to take a bit of a pause. Catcher will call time and run out to his pitcher to let the home plate umpire get a little bit of a rest. Not the first time we've seen a home plate umpire get drilled by a foul tip this season. If you remember in that last game against TKB, second to last game against TKB, the second game of the series, our home plate umpire got drilled right in the face mask, actually caused him to fall down on his back, and he had to exit the game for a little while before coming back as a field umpire. Luckily, not as bad of a tip this time, as he just needs a second to recover, and now we're back. So, again, two balls, two strikes. Vila doing a good job battling here in this count. Smith leading off of first. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted. Foul over to the left side once again. So a high foul ball there from Vila. We'll keep the count at two balls and two strikes. And I got to tell you, folks, this is a long 2-2 count. Probably the longest 2-2 count I've seen this season. Brown will come set after taking his sign. Smith leading off again. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball. Once again, misses the outside corner. And finally, Brown shows a little bit of give as the count fills up. We'll see a payoff pitch here as Brown takes his sign and comes set. Still one out in the inning. Runner on first. Here comes the pitch. Runner goes, swung on and fouled back into the back of the net. So still Dusty Vila battling here with one out in the bottom of the second inning. Brown now wipes a bit of sweat off his face, peers down to take his sign. You can tell he's frustrated by this at bat. Vila is just drawing it out as long as he can. His pitch count is going way up here. 3-2 pitch on the way. Check swing, no appeal, ball four. So Dusty Vila is going to head on over to first, and now the home plate umpire steps out and appeals finally to the second base umpire who says no swing. So a very late appeal there, but it is confirmed as a walk, and that was a really nice walk from Dusty Vila. He just battled hard throughout that whole at-bat. And really nice plate discipline being shown there. So the lineup will turn over. It'll be Colby Raphael, center fielder, as he lines one into right field for a base hit. They're going to send Smith. Here comes the throw home. It's going to be cut off and bobbled by the pitcher. Sorry, the first baseman. So the run will score, and it'll be a 3-0 ball game here in the bottom of the second inning. Runners will be at first and third. That was a really nice hit from Colby Raphael. Stepped in, went right with the pitch, and gets the job done to drive in a run. Still, it'll be one out here in the bottom of the second for Griffith Fenn. We know Griffith Fenn's got a lot of power there at the plate. Now, the last time the Colt 45s were in a situation like this, runners at the corners with one out, they went ahead and sent that runner on first. Rafael's got some serious speed, so I wouldn't be surprised if they did it again. As Brown throws over to first now, Rafael is back in there safely. In fact, I would be surprised if they didn't send Rafael for a steal and maybe try to score that runner from third. Brown comes set. Here comes the throw. Runner fakes a go, but holds up as Fenn sends that one foul over to the right side. Hard hit ball on the ground, just went right towards that West Coast Kings dugout. It'll be no balls and a strike. And we'll see if Rafael fakes another steal or actually decides to go for it this time. Another throw over. Once again, not in time. Rafael back in there safely, but Ben Brown just trying to hold him on. He's got to do some more damage control here in this inning. He's given up 3 runs so far in the game. Of course, he just gave up his first earned run of the game, so can't put too much of the blame on him. Now who comes set? Runners take their leads. Here comes the pitch. There's an off-speed pitch. Little high, but it's going to catch the zone. Griffith Fenn, not sure if he agrees with that one, but now he'll be in an 0-2 count. So we'll see if he can battle as well as Dusty Vila did with 2 strikes. As Vila takes his lead off of first, and Smith takes his lead off of third. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Sorry, Vila's on third. It's Rafael at first. Mixing up my base runners a little bit here. It's a high fastball to Griffith Fenn. Makes it a 1-2 count as Brown comes set once again. Vila on third. And it's going to be an early steal. Swing and a miss, strike 3. No chance to catch the runner at second. But Lyle, the catcher, did a good job of making it seem close. And I got to tell you, Rafael had a monstrosity of a lead over there at first. He took about 2 extra steps on his lead and then had a great jump left right before Brown started home. Still, Lyle just missed him by about a quarter of a second. Now with 2 outs, it's going to be Kyle Norton up at the plate. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball, catches the bottom of the zone for strike 1. Nice pitch from Ben Brown. So Ben Brown in a familiar situation here. Runners at second and third with 2 outs. He's in the same situation last inning. That's when the error from the second baseman Rodriguez was committed. That allowed 2 runs to score. Here comes the pitch to Norton. That one's going to be a low fastball for ball 1. So it'll be a ball and a strike. Norton in his last at-bat had a hard hit single out there to right field, pulled it, and now you've got the second baseman, Rodriguez, playing almost in that outfield grass. They're expecting something like that again. 1-1 count. Brown delivers. Breaking ball. That one's in there for strike 2. Nice curveball there from Ben Brown to get himself back in a 2-strike count. He's got some room to work with now. Worried a little bit about those runners at second and third. However, they're not holding them on tight. 1-2 pitch on the way. That one's going to be in the dirt. A nice block from the catcher, Lyle, will keep it in front. And you could tell Dusty Vila was just itching to score on that one. The minute he saw it in the dirt, he took about 3 steps towards home plate like he was ready to hard charge it out there. But like I said, a nice block from Lyle forces him to head on back to third. It'll be a 2-2 count now to Kyle Norton as Brown gets set. He will not check the runners. Here's the pitch. Swung on and foul tipped in and out of the glove of Lyle. And Ben Brown was really close to getting out of the inning with that pitch. It was a nice breaking ball. You could tell Norton was not ready for it. Put kind of a weak swing on it, just barely got a piece of it, and it went into the glove of Lyle, unfortunately just popped right out. So the count will remain 2 balls and 2 strikes. Brown comes set, once again, doesn't check any of the runners. Here's the pitch. Swung on and bounced foul down the first baseline. So just like Vila did a couple of at-bats ago, Kyle Norton doing a great job of battling here with 2 strikes. And I got to say, I want to say Ben Brown's pitch count right now is probably in the mid to upper 30s. He looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll come set. Runner's taking pretty generous leads off of second and third. Again, two outs here. The pitch. Swing and a miss in the dirt. Tag is put on him, and Norton goes down swinging. So one run given up by the West Coast Kings. It'll be a 3-0 ball game when we come back in the top of the third. Remember, folks, Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way is bringing you tonight's Reading Colt 45's baseball game. Head on over to get an all-cloth car wash. Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It is the bottom of the third inning here at Tiger Field. Once again, I'm Austin White bringing you tonight's Reading Colt 45's baseball game. Spencer Reif back out on the mound for his third consecutive inning as he gets ready against Riley Pimentel, who takes a breaking ball in there for strike one. Pimentel playing first base for the Kings tonight. We'll see Reif for the first time. He comes set and delivers. Strike two, pretty much the exact same pitch, another breaking ball right in there, and you can tell Pimentel just not really ready for that movement here in his first at-bat. 0-2 pitch on the way. This one is going to be another breaking ball. However, it will fall in the dirt right on top of home plate, and Pimentel will lay off. So it'll be a ball and two strikes as Reif gets his set. He's been working quick all night, and he's still doing it. This one's going to be fouled off out into the right side of the parking lot. Luckily, no cars out there. That one lands in the middle of nowhere. So the count will remain a ball and two strikes. Here comes the delivery from Reif. Another breaking ball. This one's going to go a little low for ball two. Count will even up now as Pimentel does a good job of exhibiting some plate discipline. Now a fastball spiked in the dirt. Fills up the count. You can tell Reif maybe getting a little jittery here. After getting those two quick strikes, he wanted to get that out quick, but now he's falling behind. Low fastball, ball four. So unfortunately for Spencer Reif, after getting a quick two-strike count off of two consecutive breaking balls, he gives up a walk. Nice appearance from Pimentel as the number nine batter, Jake Lyle, will step into the box. No outs here in the top of the third inning. Here's the pitch. Folks, you're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding. And Reif is going to deliver a low fastball. He's looking a little bit more jittery on the mound in this inning than he was in the past couple. After giving up that walk, he's probably not too happy with himself. The pitch now is going to be swung on and missed. A nice changeup on the outside corner for strike one. And Pimentel over there at first getting a pretty wide lead as Reif comes set now. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lined down the third baseline. And they're going to say foul. Whew. Reif was kind of bailed out there. That was a really hard hit ball. And I bet Jake Lyle is pretty bummed that that one didn't stay fair. That was definitely going to be a double. It looked like it was shooting into the corner. And might have even scored that runner from first as the 1-2 pitch comes in. That one's going to be lifted high into shallow left field near the line. Chasing after it is the shortstop, Caldwell, and he will get under it and make the catch for out number one. So after getting robbed of that double by barely hitting it to the left side of the foul line, Lyle pops out to the shortstop, Caldwell. So it'll be one out now for Spencer Reif as the order turns over and Joey D'Amelio, the center fielder, comes up to the plate. Reif looks down and takes his sign from Camarena. Still, Pimentel getting a wide lead over there at first. Here comes the pitch. Breaking ball in there, strike one. Nice, confident curveball there from Reif. Gets a quick strike, and that's one that was definitely needed here. Now he'll come set. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Another breaking ball, and you can tell Reif is just commanding those curveballs with a lot of confidence today. As D'Amelio completely pulled his head on the swing, and now he'll be looking at an 0-2 count. Reif checks back the runner. Here's the pitch. That one gets away from him here. He was trying to get him with a third consecutive curve, but couldn't execute there as the count will roll over to a ball and two strikes. And now we'll do it again. Come set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled over there to the right side. Joey D'Amelio does a good job of battling here. And it's a 3-0 ball game here in the top of the third inning. The West Coast Kings looking to put up their first runs of the ball game. And they've got Riley Pimentel, the first baseman, over there at first. He walked to start off the inning. And Joey D'Amelio, the leadoff batter, here in the box. It's a 1-2 count now. As the pitch comes in, that one's going to be bounced to the shortstop, Caldwell, and it takes a wide bounce off the lip of the grass and gets over his head for a base hit. And now Joey D'Amelio with the West Coast Kings get bailed out, as that looks like it could have been a double play. A hard hit bouncing ball. Joel Caldwell Serrano, the shortstop, came in on it. Looked like he was about to field that one easily before it hit that inside lip of the grass. And just bounced right over his head. So what could have been a double play to end the inning turns into a base hit. And now Reif will be working with runners on first and second. And Josiah Rodriguez, who hit the monster double, almost a home run, up to the plate. Here's the pitch. It's going to be a low changeup. It'll catch the zone for strike one. Nice pitch there from Reif as he peers down and gets his sign. Runners take their leads. And here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss off of a curveball. Nice break there from Reif. Gets Rodriguez to wave at it. And now he doesn't look to be rattled at all by the base hit. That could have been a double play. 0-2 count to Rodriguez. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted high down the left field line. That one is fair, home run over the wall. So Rodriguez, after nearly hitting a home run in his first appearance at the plate, he'll knock that one over. And I'm not going to lie to you, folks, I thought that one was going foul. He pulled it hard, and now Reif, as you can tell, is visibly frustrated. Just one batter ago, he was moments away from a double play to get himself out of the inning, but if you were listening, you heard that what should have been that double play bounced over the head of Serrano after hitting the lip of the grass and turned into a single, which put those runners on first and second, and then allowed Rodriguez to come up and hit a two-strike bomb that ties up the ball game.
Now a line drive from Seth Gwynn goes right into the glove of Sutter Moss, the third baseman, for out number one. And that's really just a tough situation now for Reif, as he's got two outs after the line out from Seth Gwynn, but really just kind of a tough crumble of the cookie, as he was so close to getting out of the inning with no runs scored. But after just an unfortunate act of God with that baseball bouncing off the lip of the grass and turning into a base hit instead of a double play, he then gives up the three-run bomb. Now he'll be pitching to Drew Giannini, who fouls one off. It'll be a 1-1 count to Giannini, as Reif is just going to try to get out of this inning here with two outs. He's in the windup, looks down, takes his sign, sets and delivers, and it'll be a breaking ball in the dirt for ball two. So tie ball game, as I mentioned, 3-3 here as Reif delivers a low fastball this time, 3-1. And I got to tell you, plays like that are what will diminish a pitcher's confidence very quickly. He went from a really solid outing to giving up three earned runs here in the top of the third, as a check swing, a home plate umpire is going to say he went around. So the count will move full. There'll be three balls and two strikes to Drew Giannini, as Reif, once again trying to get out of this one, throws and hard hit ground ball down the line. First baseman dives for it. He'll knock it down, gets on over to it, throws over to Reif for out number three. That was a tough play there to make by the first baseman, Kyle Norton. But he gets it done. It was a hard hit ball right in that gap between the second baseman and the first baseman. And Norton just completely laid out for it. It bounced out of his glove, but he was able to get to it quickly and made a nice throw on over to Reif, who was covering first for out number three. So the West Coast Kings tie it up off that three-run shot from Josiah Rodriguez. We'll head into the bottom of the third inning, where the Colt 45s will look to break that tie. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way. Go pay him a visit, Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to Tiger Field. Once again, I'm Austin White. It's going to be Juan Carlos Camarena up to the plate for the second time tonight, as we've got Ben Brown back out on the mound, and he delivers a fastball, which is swung on and missed by Camarena. So it'll be an 0-1 count to start off the catcher. He struck out in his last at-bat looking to end the bottom of the first inning. Now here's the pitch. Swung on and drilled on the ground to the third baseman. Throw is going to be in time for out number one. And sorry, folks, it did not end the bottom of the first inning on his last strikeout. I don't know what I was saying there. It'll be one out here in the bottom of the third inning. Nice piece of contact there from Juan Carlos Camarena. Unfortunately, just right into the glove of the third baseman, Giannini.
who took a step back, gloved it, and made a nice throw on over to first. Now it's going to be setter Moss, who takes a fastball in there for strike one. Brown looks down and takes his sign. 0-1 count here. The pitch. Swung on and fouled sharply over there towards the Kings dugout. And it'll be a quick 0-2 count now to setter Moss. Remember, folks, it was a 3-0 ball game. Colt 45s were up in the top half of the third inning as Moss swings and misses at a ball in the dirt. Throw on over to first is in time from the catcher Lyle for out number two. So two quick outs here for Ben Brown. As I was saying, the Colt 45s were leading 3-0 heading into the top of the third. An unfortunate scenario where a ground ball hit the lip of the grass and went over the head of the shortstop, Joel Calderon Serrano, put Reif in an unfortunate situation with runners on first and second, and then he gave up a long home run to Josiah Rodriguez that almost went foul, just barely went inside of that foul pole out in left field for a 3-run game-tying home run. Braxton Riley up to the plate. He swings and taps foul, his second pitch of the at-bat. It's going to be no balls and two strikes. Remember, your Colt 45s here are undefeated. However, they're looking to be a bit threatened by the West Coast Kings as the game's tied at 3 here in the bottom of the third. Braxton Riley now swings and misses for strike 3. So three straight pitches puts down Braxton Riley, and the West Coast Kings will have a quick bottom half of the third inning. That'll bring us back to the top of the fourth, where the Kings will look to break the tie and get their first lead of the ballgame. Remember, folks, tonight's Reading Colt 45 sponsor is Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way. They invite you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by today, Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to Tiger Field. Once again, I'm Austin White. It's going to be Spencer Reif back out on the mound. And if you were listening in the last few innings, you heard, as I mentioned, Spencer Reif gave up that 3-run shot to tie the game in the top of the third inning. But his manager is showing a lot of confidence in him here, putting him back out there. He knows he's a resilient pitcher, and he knows he can get the job done for him. Luckily, didn't give up a lead with that 3-run shot, just allowed the Kings to tie it up. So he could still potentially get the win if he stays in the game long enough for the Colts to retake the lead. It's going to be number 23, Jaden Lee, up to the plate for the Kings now. As Reif comes set and delivers, fastball right on the outside corner of the strike zone for strike one here against Jaden Lee. So we'll see just how resilient Spencer Reif is here in this inning as he delivers a breaking ball in there for strike two. And he's looking good here to start off the top of the fourth. So maybe not too rattled after giving up the shot in the top of the third. Looks like he's ready to do some business. 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Looked like a changeup there. And you could tell Jaden Lee was way out in front of it as Spencer Reif gets the first out of the inning off of three pitches. So, like I said, a lot of resilience from this young guy here as number seven, Mike Baker, comes up to the plate. Reif now gets ready and delivers out of the windup. Breaking ball in there again for strike one. So four straight strikes to start off the inning, and Reif is really attacking these Kings batters. You can tell he's got nothing to lose now. 0-1 pitch. That one will be his first ball of the inning. Another off-speed just went outside of the zone, and it'll be a ball and a strike. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and driven foul. straight at the Colt 45's dugout. And now it'll be a ball and two strikes to Mike Baker. Baker steps out of the box and takes a quick hack before stepping back in. 1-2 pitch on the way. Swung on and driven into center field for a base hit. So a nice piece of hitting from Baker there. Gets himself a base knock. And it'll be a runner on first with one out as Tyler Smith, designated hitter, comes up to the plate. And Tyler Smith, as I mentioned in his first at-bat, stands at about 6'2", maybe 6'3". He's a big boy, probably the biggest boy on this West Coast Kings roster, or at least from what we've seen. And he'll see a fastball in there for strike one to start him off. So it'll be one strike, one out, and a runner on first as Reif comes set, checks the runner back. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball barely misses the inside corner of the zone for ball one. A ball and a strike now to Tyler Smith as Mike Baker gets a pretty big lead off of first. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike two. And like I had mentioned earlier, Reif, after giving up the shot in the top of the third, has really just come out and attacked these West Coast Kings batters here in the top of the fourth as he comes set and delivers. That one's going to be swung on and hit weakly on the ground. Dusty Vila's got it. He'll throw over to second out there. Throwing over to first is in time for a double play. So a really nice double play from the middle infield there. Gets us out of that one. It was a weakly hit ground ball right up the middle. Dusty Vila able to put a glove on it quickly. A nice toss over to second. And a nice throw from the shortstop Calderon over to first. Results in a double play to get the Colt 45s out of the inning. So a nice inning of work there from Reif coming out after the three-run shot in the top of the third. And that'll bring us to the top bottom of the fourth inning where the Colt 45s will once again look to break the tie. Remember, folks, tonight's Reading Colt 45's game is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash. They've got an all-cloth car wash where they take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. So stop by today, Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here, and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner. Now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Reading on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It is the bottom of the fourth inning here at Tiger Field. We've got Ben Brown back out onto the mound for the West Coast Kings, and he'll be facing off against the left-handed batter, Sutter Moss. No, I apologize. That's McGuire Smith over there in the left-handed batter's box. And he's going to take a breaking ball in there for strike one. So it'll be no balls and a strike to McGuire Smith. As comes up once again and now delivers. That one's going to be driven into deep right field. Going back to the right fielder, and he will make the catch at the warning track and then jogs right into the wall. And that ball was absolutely hammered by McGuire Smith, the designated hitter. I thought that one might have a chance at getting out. Unfortunately, just didn't have the launch angle as the right fielder, Seth Gwynn, makes a nice move in the direction of the ball and makes the catch at the warning track. So it'll be Joel Calderon Serrano, the shortstop, up to the plate with one out. And he's going to watch a fastball go by off the outside corner for ball one. It'll be a ball and no strikes now here with one out to Joel Calderon Serrano. Brown now with the delivery. Another breaking ball. That one's going to go a little too low for ball two. So 2-0 count now for Calderon as he steps in. Ben Brown out of the windup once again. Here's the 2-0 pitch. Swing and a miss on a nice fastball low in the zone. Count will turn over to 2 balls and a strike. Brown now is going to take off his hat and his glove and wipe some sweat off here. Dusty Vila, the number 9 hole, on deck. 2-1 pitch with one out. Outside fastball, ball 3. Now I think we can expect to see an action pitch here with 3 balls and a strike. I wouldn't be surprised if we got a fastball somewhere on the outside corner. 3-1 pitch. Tapped foul right in front of the plate. And that'll fill up the count. 3 balls and 2 strikes. And I was right. It was an outside fastball. And Serrano hit it right straight down into the plate. And it dribbled off foul. Full count. Here's the pitch. Check swing, but called strike 3 on a nice breaking ball that totally froze the shortstop Calderon. So Ben Brown gets another strikeout, and that'll bring up the number 9 hole in Dusty Vila here with 2 outs in the bottom of the 4th inning. Again, the game's tied 3-3 as Ben Brown gets ready and delivers out of the windup another breaking ball, and it's working for him this inning. That one goes in there for strike 1. Now he'll get ready and deliver. Fastball swung on and grounded sharply to the first baseman, Pimentel. He'll glove it and take it himself to the first for out number 3. So 3 quick outs. Really starting to get himself into a rhythm. We'll head into the top of the 5th inning where the West Coast Kings once again look to break the tie. Remember, folks, game is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way. Stop by today. Quick and Clean
Blue
Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It's the top of the 5th here at Tiger Field. Once again, I'm Austin White, and it'll be Spencer Rice out back onto the mound. Once again, his managers are showing a lot of confidence in him. If you were here with us listening earlier in the game, you'll know that Rife gave up a 3-run shot in the top of the 3rd. He's been pretty lights out other than that, however. Hasn't allowed another run since then in the inning he's pitched. And he'll look to shut down the Kings once again in this inning as he faces the bottom of the order in the first baseman, Riley Pimentel. So Pimentel will step on into that right-handed batter's box as Spencer Rife gets on the rubber and looks down to get his sign from the catcher, Juan Carlos Camarena. He's got it. Here comes the delivery. Fastball swung on and driven on the ground. The shortstop, Calderon has it. He'll throw it over to first for out number 1. So a hard-hit ground ball, but right there to Joel Calderon Serrano, who fields it nicely and makes a great throw on over to first for the first out of the inning. So 1 pitch, 1 out here in the top of the 5th as Jake Lyle, the catcher, comes up to the plate. Lyle pulled one hard and foul in his last at-bat that almost got down on the line for a double as he takes a breaking ball in there for strike 1, but ultimately ended up with a weak pop-out later in the at-bat. No balls and a strike to Lyle. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Another off-speed. That one's going to be in there for strike 2. Lyle just let that one go right by. Looked like a pitch that was right in the zone there. 0-2 on the way. That one's going to be fouled off the mask of the catcher, and he'll take off the mask for a second to get himself readjusted. The count will remain no balls and 2 strikes. as Lyle steps back into the box. A good job to battle off that last pitch. Here it comes. Breaking ball a little too high in the zone for ball one. Some good discipline there to lay off that one. It'll be a ball and two strikes to number 13, the catcher. 1-2 pitch on the way. Fastball barely misses the outside corner, and Reif looked frustrated with that call. After getting maybe a little accustomed to a wider strike zone in his last outing, now the 2-2 pitch is going to be popped straight up into the infield. Under it will be Kyle Norton, the first baseman, and he will make the catch for out number two. So two quick outs for Spencer Reif here. And after giving up that shot in the top of the third, he's been working quick and working efficiently in the last inning in two-thirds. And he'll see if he can finish the job here in the inning against number 21, Joey D'Amelio. So Reif looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll get ready and deliver. Fastball catches the outside corner for strike one. So it'll be no balls and a strike to Joey D'Amelio. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. That one's going to be in the dirt. It'll go all the way to the backstop. Now it'll be a ball and a strike to Joey D'Amelio. 0-45, one out away from getting to the bottom of the fifth. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be swung on and lifted high into left center field. Coming in is Colby Rafael, and he will make the catch for out number three. So another nice inning of work from Spencer Reif, and he's shown a lot of resilience here in the two innings since giving up that three-run shot. The game will remain tied as we head into the bottom of the fifth. Colt 45s will look to break that tie. And remember, folks, tonight's Colt 45 sponsor is Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way. Go pay them a visit and enjoy their all-cloth car wash. They're going to take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. So go ahead and stop by today.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Cascade Curations in downtown Reading is a unique destination location. Cascade Curations is a vibrant hub celebrating the creativity and talent of local artists, musicians, and designers. Clothing racks are stocked with upcycled and upscale thrift, as well as new clothing unlike anywhere else. Whether you're seeking beautiful artwork to adorn your home, new music to inspire you, or musical instruments and gear to play, Cascade Curations is a must-visit spot to immerse yourself in Reading's thriving arts and culture scene. Located in the Foundry Square next to the dip.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It's the bottom of the fifth inning here at Tiger Field. It's going to be Ben Brown back out onto the mound for the West Coast Kings. And after throwing a breaking ball over the head of his catcher here in warmups, it appears that his arm might be getting a little bit tired. He's given up three runs so far, however, only one of those runs was earned. Two unearned runs came in the bottom of the first, and the one earned run came in the bottom of the second. He's thrown two scoreless innings since then, but now he'll be facing off against the top of the Colt 45's lineup in Colby Rafael. So Rafael will step up to the plate as Brown gets ready to deliver. Here's the pitch. Showing bunt is Rafael, and he'll pull back in time. That pitch was low for ball one. So it'll be a 1-0 count to start off the center fielder. Brown from the windup. Here he comes. Another shown bunt, but once again pulls back. It was another breaking ball. Low once again. So the count quickly moves to two balls and no strikes. And it looks like Ben Brown doesn't really want Colby Rafael to lay down a bunt. Here's the 2-0 pitch. High fastball, quick 3-0 count. And like I mentioned, as Brown was warming up, it looks like his arm's a little bit tired. He's struggling with control a bit. 3-0 pitch now on the way to Rafael. Fastball nails the outside corner for strike one, so a nice comeback pitch there. It'll be a 3-1 pitch, and now Rafael will have the green light to swing. Here it is. Fastball catches the top of the zone for strike two. So a nice job from Ben Brown coming back after the 3-0 deficit. And it'll be a full count with no outs. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball just misses the top of the zone for ball four. So some nice discipline there from Rafael. We'll put him on first. We've got action over there in the bullpen of the West Coast Kings. Looks like it might be number 41, Hofferson, over there. And it's going to be Griffith Fenn up to the plate for the Colt 45s. Colby Rafael will take a generous lead off of first. We'll see if they send him here with no outs. It'll be a pickoff over to first before Fenn sees the pitch. Sliding in safely is Rafael. Fenn now back in the box. Brown looks down and takes the sign. Now he'll pick off again over to first. And once again, Rafael is back in safely on a slide. Now Griffith Fenn will take a second before he steps back into the box. Deep breath. Now he's back in. Brown take a long time to look over at Rafael at first. Now he'll come set. An early steal. No, just a few deep steps from Colby Rafael. It looked like Brown was about to start his delivery, so Rafael took two extra steps, and you could tell he was about to steal, but Ben Brown quickly stepped off. And now our Colt 45's manager is asking for a balk. So our home plate umpire is going to call time, and now he'll deliberate with somebody. It looks like they're deliberating with the first base umpire. No. The home plate umpire is deliberating with the two coaches. He's looking back and forth from one dugout to the other as each of them chirp at him a little bit. So the Colt 45s wanted a balk there, but I'm not going to lie. I didn't see where it would have been. Could have been that Brown twitched his shoulders a little bit after coming set, but I didn't see it. Here comes the pitch now. That one's going to be swung on and fouled back into the net. It'll be no balls and a strike. And once again, it was kind of a weird play. Brown was set for a while, and it looked like he was about to deliver. So Rafael took a couple extra steps. Looked like he was going to try for an early steal, but Brown quickly stepped off, and Rafael gunned it back to first. 0-1 pitch. That one is going to go almost behind the batter, Fenn. It was right around his feet. A nice job of stabbing it by the catcher, Lyle. Holds the runner on first. It'll be a 1-1 count now to Griffith Fenn, the right fielder, as Brown comes set. 1-1 pitch on the way. High fastball, ball two. So, like I said, I mentioned it earlier a couple of times, actually. Brown, his arm is looking tired here. He's got no outs in the bottom of the fifth. We've got action in the Kings bullpen. And you can tell he's scared of Rafael over there at first. He's been checking him over quite a bit. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Throw is in time. Got him. Colby Rafael got a great jump off of the delivery from Ben Brown. But I got to say, that throw from Jake Lyle is probably one of the best collegiate throwdowns I have seen. I would probably guess that pop time was between 1.7 and 1.85 seconds. I don't think it was above 1.85, maybe 1.9. Now Fenn is going to show bunt, but he'll pull back, and that'll make it a 3-1 count. And Fenn thought it was a walk. He thought that was ball four, but it turns out it'll just be 3-1. Fenn will step back in. 3-1 pitch on the way. Swung on and fouled high and back into the parking lot. But as I was saying, folks, I don't mean to give too much praise to a player who's not on our Reading Colt 45s, but Jake Lyle's throw down to catch Colby Rafael, I mentioned it, Rafael got two extra steps before Brown even went into his delivery, as the 3-2 pitch is in there. And now it's going to be swung on and driven deep into left center field. Going back to the warning track is the center fielder D'Amelio, and he will make the catch for out number two. So that was a hard hit ball. It just lifted a little too much off the bat of Griffith Fenn into the deepest part of the yard for out number two. So it'll be Kyle Norton, the first baseman, up to the plate. Anyways, to finally finish my thought, Colby Rafael got an excellent lead, got a couple extra steps before Brown went into his delivery, but the catcher, Lyle, was still able to gun him out at second with that fast pop time. And now a pitch is going to run in on the feet of Kyle Norton, and it's actually going to catch his foot, and that'll be a hit by pitch, so he'll head on over to first. And now the manager of the West Coast Kings is going to come over and say a few words to the home plate umpire. It looks like he is maybe just giving the umpire an early warning sign of they're changing up the lineup. I don't know what that interaction was about, really. Either way, it'll be two outs with Kyle Norton on first. It's Juan Carlos Camarena, the catcher, up to the plate. He's 0 for 2 tonight as the fastball goes high for ball one. So it'll be a 1-0 count to Camarena. Once again, Norton is leading off of first. Brown will check him back. 1-0 pitch now to Camarena. Runner goes. Swung on and missed. The throw down. This one's not going to be in time. And actually, it's going to bounce out into center field. So a nice jump from Kyle Norton. He'll have himself a stolen base. And after Jake Lyle threw a phenomenal ball down to second to catch Colby Rafael earlier in the inning, he kind of spiked that one a little bit as it dribbles into center field, and he's unable to catch Kyle Norton stealing. So it'll be a 1-1 count now to Juan Carlos Camarena, the catcher, as Brown delivers a breaking ball. It's going to go off the inside corner for ball two. So it'll be a 2-1 count here to Camarena. Now Ben Brown will look down and take his sign. Now he comes set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and lifted high down the third baseline in the infield. Under it's going to be the first baseman, Riley Pimentel. And Camarena will go down for the third time this evening. So that'll bring us in to the top of the sixth inning. Still, this game is tied at 3 apiece. Folks, we're going to have a quick and clean break thanks to Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
All right. Welcome back. It's the top of the sixth inning here at Tiger Field. And believe it or not, we got Spencer Reif back out on the mound here for the top of the sixth. Again, he gave up a 3-run shot in the top of the third. However, those are the only runs he's given up this inning. And we're having a little plate meeting here between the umpiring crew and both managers. They might be talking about that caught stealing play in the bottom of last inning where Jake Lyle threw out Colby Rafael at second. But before that play, Ben Brown stepped off to try to catch Colby Rafael, who looked like he might be trying for an early steal, and there was a little bit of deliberation on whether it was a box, so I wonder if that's kind of what they're chatting about here. Not great for the Colt 45s, as not getting the balk ended up resulting in a thrown out stealing from catcher Jake Lyle. Anyways, that's a lot of baseball talk. It's a 3-3 ball game. And Spencer Rife is back out on the mound. He's going to be facing off against Josiah Rodriguez. Rodriguez is 2-for-2 tonight. And one of those two hits was the 3-run shot off of Rife in the top of the third inning. So Rodriguez has kind of had Rife's number tonight as he lines one into left field for a base hit. So Braxton Riley will glove it and throw it in quickly to hold Rodriguez at first, but he has his third base hit of the night. He's 3-for-3, and I ought to mention he's just a triple short of the cycle. So it's going to be number 20, Seth Gwynn, up to the plate now. He's got Rodriguez leading off of first. Coming set is Rife. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball, a little high, a little inside for ball one. So it'll be a 1-0 count now as Rife now comes set, checks back the runner. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted high and deep into left field. After it is Riley. He's going to get under it at the warning track and throw it in. So just getting under it was Seth Gwynn. If he had leveled that one out just a little bit more, probably would have gone over the wall. But unable to get totally a hold of it. And it'll be one gone with Josiah Rodriguez still over there at first as Drew Giannini comes up to the plate for the third time tonight. With one out, here's the pitch from Rife. Swung on and lifted high and deep into left center field. Chasing after it is Rafael. That one's going to go off the wall. Rafael will get it in quickly, and the runners will hold at second and third. Throw home is nice, and that was a great defensive effort to keep any runs from scoring. I got to give a lot of props to Colby Rafael, the center fielder. He was chasing after that ball, realized it was going to hit off the wall, stopped, and played it pretty much perfectly. He knew what angle that ball was going to hit off of the wall, and it went right into his glove. He was able to make a quick throw into his cutoff man, who picked it off and held the runners at second and third. But it's a double for Drew Giannini as Jaden Lee comes up to the plate and fouls off a curveball into the parking lot. There'll be no balls and a strike now to Jaden Lee. Again, we've only got one out here, so Spencer Rife is in a bit of a jam as he peers down and takes his sign. An 0-1 count to Jaden Lee. Now the pitch, check swing, ball in the dirt. There will be no appeal, so it'll be a ball and a strike to Jaden Lee. Once again, I just got to say, that play from Colby Rafael, playing that ball off the wall perfectly to get it in so quick and hold those runners at second and third, really well done there from the Colt 45 center fielder. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be lined into left field. Under it's Rafael. He'll make the catch right before the warning track. Throw in is going to be not nearly in time as he was way deep out there in left field and thrown off of his back foot. So a run will score on the sack fly. Runner at second will hold, but the West Coast Kings will take the lead. It's a 4-3 ball game as Mike Baker, the shortstop, comes up to the plate. Nice piece of hitting there from Jaden Lee. Gets the sack fly off of a line out into deep left field. Braxton Riley did a good job of getting to that ball and making the catch. Unfortunately, as it was hit hard and deep, he was throwing off of his back foot from out there in left field and really had no chance to get that runner at home. It'll be two outs with a runner on second. Here's the pitch to Baker. It's going to be high fastball for ball one. So Colt 45 is working with two outs here. And Spencer Rife just giving up his fourth earned run of the game in the top of the sixth inning. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike one. A nice high fastball there from Rife. Draws a swing from number seven, Mike Baker. It'll be a ball and a strike now. Again, you've still got Drew Giannini leading off of second there. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Another swing and a miss on another high fastball for strike two. So looks like Baker just unable to catch up with the fastball so far. And we'll see if Spencer Rife tries to give it to him again. 1-2 pitch now on the way. Breaking ball swung on and fouled high and deep into the right corner. So the count will remain a ball and two strikes. Nice job of battling there from the shortstop. He'll step back into the box now. And Spencer Rifle comes set. 1-2 pitch on the way. Breaking ball. No swing from Mike Baker as that one goes low for ball two. It'll be two balls and two strikes with two outs here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Sorry, top of the sixth inning. Kings have scored one already. Here's the 2-2 pitch. No swing. Outside fastball. Ball three. So the count will fill up here. It'll be 3-2 with two outs. And still, you've got Drew Giannini leading off of second there. Once again, the West Coast Kings scored one earlier in the inning off of the sack fly from Jaden Lee to break the tie. It's a 4-3 ball game. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be lifted high into center field. Coming in is Rafael. He will make the catch for out number three. So the Colt 45s limit the damage. However, the Kings are able to break the tie and score a run. So it'll be a 4-3 ball game as we head into the bottom of the sixth. The Colt 45s look to answer back. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Stop by today, Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
I'm Scott Schaffner, proud member of Reading West Rotary. Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 17th annual Taste of Reading 2024, Sunday, June 9th, from noon until 4 at the Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews. Plus, live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.org. Sample great food and beverages from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries while listening to The Billies, Bartosh, Hook, Anna J. Band, and Ashley Black. Enjoy fun with the family with face painting and balloon artists. There will be fun for the entire family, so come down to the 17th annual Taste of Reading, Sunday, June 9th, at the Sculpture Park at Reading City Hall. Find the complete list of events and purchase your tickets by visiting us online at tasteofreading.org.
Alrighty, welcome back, folks. We've got a new pitcher out on the mound for the West Coast Kings. It's going to be number 41, Offerson. I don't have a first name for him, so we will just refer to him as Hofferson tonight. But if I get a first name, I will let you folks know. Anyways, Hofferson delivers a low fastball for ball one to center Boss, who's up at the plate for the Colt 45s, leading off here in the bottom of the sixth. Now a fastball is going to catch the bottom of the zone for strike one. It'll be a 1-1 count. If you'll remember, in the top half of the inning, the West Coast Kings took the lead 4-3 after a nice sacrifice fly from Drew Giannini. Sorry, from Jaden Lee. Jaden Lee was the one to hit the sack fly, scored a run. Luckily, Spencer Reif was able to get out of the inning after that, limit the damage, as another fastball goes outside of the zone for ball two. Now the 2-1 pitch is going to be a fastball again off the outside corner. So a lot of fastballs here for Hofferson to start out his appearance against Moss, and it'll be a 3-1 count. Here comes the action pitch. Swung on and lifted into deep left field. Chasing after it is the left fielder, Lee, and he will not make the catch. Now heading over to second is Moss. He'll turn round and go to the third, and he'll be in the third base standing up. He's got himself a stand-up triple to start the inning. So we saw an action pitch there from Hofferson, and I got to tell you, Moss didn't get completely a hold of that ball. He lifted it high and pretty deep into the corner out in left field. However, as he's a left-hander, the outfield was shifted over. So they had a long run. The left fielder Lee had a long run over as Braxton Riley comes up and swings and misses at a pitch. The entire infield for the Kings is playing in now. Anyways, that left fielder Lee had a long run over from left center field to try to get that ball that was down the line, and it dropped and went into the corner, and he just couldn't get to it. So a triple for Center Moss starts off the Colt 45s, and now they're threatening to tie this game up here with no outs in the bottom of the sixth inning. Braxton Riley swings and taps one foul. It'll be an 0-2 count, and now Riley's going to have to battle a little bit here. Still, the Kings are all playing in on the infield. Here comes the pitch. Fastball called strike three on the outside corner. And the fans are not too happy with that call, and neither is Braxton Riley. However, with two strikes, you got to protect the zone a little bit, especially with no balls. I think that's a pitch you got to swing at. So Riley gets sat down, and that'll bring up McGuire Smith. Smith has shown he's got a lot of power. He's hit one to the warning track already in this game, and he'll see if he can at least get himself a sacrifice fly, if not a base hit here, with one out. Here comes the pitch. Another fastball. It's going to be outside of the zone for ball one. It'll be a ball and no strikes to start off. Smith. It's a righty-on-lefty matchup, so Smith has the advantage here. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and lifted foul over there to the left side. Count will move to a ball and a strike as Hofferson gets himself a new ball. Now he'll peer down and take his sign before coming set. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and once again lifted foul over the stands on the left side. And you can tell Smith is just a little late on these pitches from Hofferson. Can't seem to really connect with one yet. It'll be a 1-2 count. And now Smith's going to have to battle a little bit. Hofferson comes set. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swung on and lined into deep right field. That one's going to get down in front of the right fielder. And that's an RBI single. So not quite as deep as I thought, but that was a hard hit ball. Right on a line. Playing way back in right field with the right fielder Seth Gwynn. And he ranged over towards the line to get in front of that ball and pick it up, but Colt 45s now have tied up the ball game. It is a 4-4 game here with one out at the bottom of the sixth. You got Smith leading off at first, and now Calderon shows bunt, but he bunts right through it. No, they're going to say he pulled back. He sure didn't look like he pulled back to me, but they say he did, so it'll be a 1-0 count now to Calderon as Smith leads off of first. Coming set is the pitcher Hofferson. Here comes the pitch. Low fastball in the dirt. Blocked by the catcher Lyle. It'll be a quick 2-0 count now to Calderon. Remember that sacrifice, sorry, not the sacrifice, that RBI single from Smith was only made possible by that nice triple that led off the inning from Center Moss. Now Hofferson will throw over to first. Sliding in safely is Smith. Calderon up to the plate. He's got a 2-0 count. Hofferson looks down, takes his sign. Come set. Here's the pitch. Fouled back off into the parking lot. So the count moves to two balls and one strike. So it'll be a 2-1 count now as Hofferson comes set. He'll check the runner back. Here's the pitch. Swung on, fouled back into the net this time. So after going up in the count 2-0, now Calderon has allowed it to be tied up. It'll be two balls and two strikes now as Hofferson gets a new ball and steps back up onto the rubber. Now he'll look down and take his sign before coming set. Checks over the runner at first. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and driven on the ground into right field. There's a base hit. They're going to send Smith to third. The throw is going to be In time. No, not in time. He is safe at third. Well, the throw was in time. It was a little high, and the third baseman was unable to lay the tag down. It was the home plate umpire making the call there. The West Coast Kings were unhappy with that call. I got to say, if the third baseman had been able to get that tag down, remember that's Drew Giannini over there, he would have been out by a mile. I mean, I really thought they had him there. But similar to that throw down to second earlier in the game where the second baseman Rodriguez couldn't get the tag down, now Giannini can't get the tag down, and it's going to bring up Dusty Vila, who fouls one off to start off the at-bat. And I feel kind of bad now for the right fielder, Seth Gwynn. That was a really great throw from all the way in right field. It was on a line, just a little high to Drew Giannini, kind of jumped up to grab it, and then couldn't get the tag down on Smith. Vila now with an 0-1 count, steps in on that left side. Coming set is Hofferson. Runners take their leads. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike two. So a quick 0-2 count now to Vila. And if you'll remember, in his last at-bat, he went down 0-2 and then battled back, had about a 10-pitch at-bat, and ended up drawing a walk. So let's see if he can make some magic happen again as he watches the fastball go by outside for ball one. Again, Hofferson working with just one out. Runners at the corners now. Colt 45 is threatening to take the lead as Hofferson looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll come set. 1-2 pitch on the way. Swung on and lifted high into left field. Chasing after it is left fielder Lee. He will drop it. He dropped the ball. One run will come in to score. Runner at first will head on to second. And Dusty Vila will be safe at first. Now, I got to tell you, that looked like a routine fly ball out there in left field. And the left fielder Lee, I thought he had it. Sorry. Yeah, Jaden Lee out there. I thought he had it. Looked like he was under it, and then next thing you know, the ball was on the ground. So he was unable to make the catch, and the defensive difficulties continue here for the West Coast Kings as they go down 5-4. Colt 45 is taking the lead. Now a pitch is going to get by the catcher, Lyle, and runners will advance to second and third, so no more force out. The double play will be off, and now the West Coast Kings manager is going to call time and head out onto the mound. He's going to have a little chat with his defense because they seem to be falling apart here in the bottom of the sixth inning. The Colt 45s have already scored two. This inning should have been over probably at least one batter ago, maybe two batters ago. The third baseman, Giannini, was unable to put the tag down on a runner, costing them an out. And now the left fielder, Lee, loses the ball and can't make the catch, costing them another out. They're still only working with one out here in the bottom of the sixth inning, and the Colt 45s have runners on second and third. The order turns over. It's going to be Colby Rafael up to the plate. Sorry, Rafael was up on that last pitch. That got away from the catcher, Lyle, which allowed the runners to advance. So now he'll look for an RBI himself. A fly ball might sacrifice one in. A base hit would probably score two, as you've got some speed over there at second in Dusty Vila. It's a 1-0 count. Hofferson now comes set. Here's the delivery. Fastball just off the outside corner for ball two. Quick 2-0 count now to Rafael. And the West Coast Kings desperately need to make something happen on defense here. The entire infield's playing in. They do not want to allow another run to score. They're down 5-4 here in the bottom of the six. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss on a fastball. And you could tell Rafael wanted all of that one, but didn't get any of it. So it'll be two balls and a strike. Rafael comes up to the box. Hofferson takes his sign. Now the 2-1 pitch. Another swing and a miss on a fastball. And still, Rafael struggles to catch up with that. Count moves to 2 balls and 2 strikes. Hofferson done a good job of coming back here. Remember, folks, you're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding. 2-2 pitch now on the way. Swung on, this time fouled into the parking lot. So that fastball again. Rafael able to get a piece of it this time. So he's starting to catch up. It's going to be 2 balls and 2 strikes now. Hofferson comes set again. 2-2 pitch for the second time. Outside fastball misses the corner for ball three. So the count will fill up now. The only thing going for Hofferson in this situation, he's got a base to work with. He's got first base open. And if they gave up a walk to Rafael here with one out, that would actually end up putting a force out for him, and they could worry a little bit more about a double play. 3-2 pitch on the way, and he will give up the walk. So off the full count, Rafael draws a walk. He'll head on over to first, and it'll be bases loaded. The corners of the infield will stay in. In fact, the third baseman, Giannini's, going to play way in on the grass, whereas the middle infielders will move back to double play depth. Now Giannini's actually going to back up a little bit. He's playing in line with third base, and that's kind of an interesting place to play. I suppose he's still trying to be in a spot where he can hold on that runner at third. Here comes the pitch to Griffith Fenn. That one's going to be a strike on the inside corner. Fenn's got the left-handed advantage here, facing off against Hofferson, who's a righty. It's an 0-1 count now. Bases loaded, one out. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted foul over to the left side. So a quick 0-2 count. However, we've seen these quick 0-2 counts a lot so far in the inning. And for some reason, Hofferson just can't seem to finish it off. So another 0-2 count. Let's see if he can finish this one off. Here it is. That one's going to be lined foul deep into the corner out there on the left side. And Fenn really got a hold of that one, just couldn't straighten it out. And now, if I'm Hofferson, I'm a little bit scared of giving up a home run, which would be a grand slam here to Griffith Fenn. Now Hofferson will shake off his catcher. Now he gets a sign he likes, come set. The 0-2 pitch for the second time. Outside fastball will not catch the zone. It'll be ball one. So a ball and two strikes now. We're still in the bottom of the sixth. It's been a long bottom of the sixth inning. The West Coast Kings have given up two. The bases are loaded here with Griffith Fenn up to the plate and just one out. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into center field. Going after it is the center fielder, D'Amelio. He'll make the catch. Throw on into third is in time. Got the runner at third for out number three. They're going to count the runner. They're going to count the run that scored in from third, so it'll be a sacrifice fly, but the West Coast Kings will get a double play. So it'll be a 6-4 ball game. Colt 45s will lead by two as we head into the top of the seventh. A nice job there from the center fielder, Joey D'Amelio, making the catch and then throwing out that runner at third. So, once again, we'll head into the top of the seventh. Colt 45s lead 6-4. This game is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. On sale now, all tomatoes, peppers, cantaloupe, and watermelon plants are half price right now. Hurry in for the best selection. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, crepe myrtles, and majestic trees, along with roses and ground coverings. All 1 gallon or larger are all on sale, and all bag soil amendments. Don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Goldleaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Come check them out. The easiest way to find them is on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road, across the street from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Open Tuesday through Saturday. You don't want to miss this sale.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of the seventh inning here. It's going to be number 33, Tyler Smith, the designated hitter, up to the plate for the West Coast Kings. And it's been kind of a wild ride here tonight at Tiger Field. The lead keeps on changing. Colt 45s were able to take the lead after scoring 3 runs at the bottom of the sixth. They were trailing 4-3 when we went into the bottom of the sixth and then went up 6-4 after a rough defensive outing from the West Coast Kings in the bottom of the inning. So now, with, wouldn't you know it, Spencer Reif back out of the mound, they'll look to hold the Kings here. It's a 1-1 count to Tyler Smith as Reif comes out of the windup and delivers. Swung on and drilled. Bounces off the glove of the shortstop, Caldwin, who quickly picks it up and makes a throw on over to first for out number one. And that play was as fast as you can get out, folks. It was a line shot, took one quick hop as Caldwin tried to stab at it with his glove. It just bounced right in and out of the glove as he tried to pick that one. But it bounced right in front of him, and he was able to pick it up and laser a throw on over to first for the out. But now the runner is going to stay on at first, and the umpires are going to deliberate, but they'll confirm that he was indeed out. So, sorry, Tyler Smith kind of robbed of a base hit there. Nice play from Joel Caldwin, staying with that ball all throughout the play and getting the out. That was a great throw, right on the money. And right on a line. So one out. That'll bring up Riley Pimentel, the first baseman. And he's going to take a breaking ball in there for ball one. 1-0 count now to start off Pimentel. Reif comes set and delivers. Now it's going to be another ground ball over to the left side of Caldwin. He'll field it on the run in time for out number two. So another really nice play from the shortstop, Caldwin. And that'll give us 2 quick outs here in the top of the seventh inning. It was a pretty hard-hit ground ball to the left side of Caldwin. He had to range over and grab that one on a backhand. Quickly made the transition from the glove hand to his throwing hand and then threw on the run. And another on-target throw for out number two. So now Jake Lyle, the catcher, will swing and miss at a fastball for strike one. Spencer Reif still, even after giving up 4 runs, has an opportunity to get the win in this game as he delivers a breaking ball in the strike zone for strike two. And it'll be a quick 0-2 count to Jake Lyle. And Reif has the opportunity to make this a really quick inning. That'll be an off-speed, almost in the dirt. Lyle watches it go by for ball one. It'll be a 1-2 count now. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted high into right field. Coming in is going to be Fenn. He'll get under it, make the catch. So, indeed, a really quick inning there from Spencer Reif. That'll get the Colt 45s off the field and back into the dugout. And we'll head into the bottom of the seventh. We've got some action out there in the Kings bullpen. And we'll have a long break.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Tired of the long drive to the airport? Fly from Reading Regional Airport instead and travel the world with one connection with United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Reading Regional Airport is close to home, and you'll enjoy quick check-ins, ease, and convenience. Getting to where you're going is easy. Book your flight from Reading Regional Airport nonstop to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Take the vacation you've been dreaming about. Fly with ease and convenience at Reading Regional Airport.
Cinerama and Tri-County Sync presents Cruise by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, taking place Friday, June 14th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Reading.
This 21-plus event features over 10 local craft breweries serving ice-cold beer, plus two live music stages, local food vendors, fun activities, and more.
All proceeds support Turtle Bay's educational and cultural programming.
Don't miss Cruise by the Bridge at Turtle Bay on Friday, June 14th.
Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
June 8th is your chance to support our veterans. Join Simpson University, Dr. Paul DeNuca, and Josh Parker Real Estate for the Simpson Veteran Success Center Fundraising Gala, featuring John Bartis, founder and chairman of Higher Heroes. You'll be moved by the real stories of Johnny, Ruby, Jess, and Julia. Go to the simpsonu.edu events page to become a sponsor or reserve your table now. That's simpsonu.edu/events.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It's the bottom of the seventh inning here at Tiger Field. Your Reading Colt 45s lead the West Coast Kings 6-4. If you haven't been tuning in with us, it's been kind of a wild ride here tonight. A lot of lead changes late in the game, but your Colts are up here, like I said, 6-4. It's going to be Hofferson back out onto the mound for the Kings. Remember, he gave up three runs in his last inning, which is his debut inning of the series. And now it's going to be Kyle Norton, first baseman, up to the plate. I should say not all of the runs scored were the fault of Hofferson, as Norton lifts one high over the left side into foul territory, and that one will get down for foul ball. So it'll be an 0-1 count to start off Norton. That was what I was saying. Hofferson had to deal with a couple errors from his guys in the field and a couple of mental mistakes as well that maybe you wouldn't classify as errors, but definitely weren't his fault. Either way, still gave up three runs, and the Colt 45s now have the lead 6-4. It's an 0-1 count. Here's the pitch to Norton. It'll be a fastball off the outside corner for ball one. So it'll be a ball and a strike now to Norton, as once again, Hofferson comes out of the windup and delivers. That one's going to be fouled right off the bat into the net. A ball and two strikes now for Norton. But Colt 45 is looking to extend this two-run lead here in the bottom of the seventh. Hofferson looking to hold them, try to get back into the dugout quickly, let his guys grab the bats. That one's going to be chopped on the ground towards the shortstop. He's got it. Throw over to first is not in time. Norton beats it out for an infield single. Really nicely played by the shortstop, Mike Baker. Came in and charged that chopper, fielded it, and threw on the run. Throw had a lot of velocity as well, but Norton showcasing some real speed down the line at first, and he's got himself an infield base hit. So now it'll be Juan Carlos Camarena, the catcher, coming up to the plate for the fourth time tonight. He's 0-for-3 so far, looking for his first hit of the night. Here comes the pitch. High fastball. It'll be a ball and no strikes now to Juan Carlos Camarena as Norton takes his lead. Norton's already got one steal on the night. Let's see if he tries for another. He will. The pitch, the throw from the knees is going to go over the head of the second baseman who's covering. The center fielder, D'Amelio, is right there cover, and Norton picks up his second steal of the night. So it'll be a 1-1 count to Camarena with a runner on second now, and that takes off the force. The throw from Lyle might have been in time, but it was a rocket just right over the head of his second baseman, Rodriguez. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be fouled back into the net. So another 1-2 count. Like I said, Hofferson has gotten a lot of two-strike counts, a lot of 1-2 counts, a lot of 0-2 counts. But unfortunately, he hasn't been able to execute with two strikes here tonight.
quite often. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there, strike three. So he'll execute that time. I guess he wanted to prove me wrong. And Camarena is down on the strikes as he'll walk back to the dugout. It'll be one out now as setter Moss comes up to the plate. Remember, Moss had that triple into the left field corner in his last at bat. Now he's got a chance to extend the lead with one out and a runner on second. Hofferson comes set. Here's the pitch. Fastball catches the outside corner for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count as Hofferson once again comes set. The 0-1 pitch now on the way. In there, again on the outside corner for strike two. So two straight fastballs on the outside corner. Make it an 0-2 count for Sutter Moss. Now the 0-2 pitch, swung on and fouled, back into the net. So the count will remain no balls and two strikes. And Moss will step out of the box and take a couple of practice hacks before stepping back in. Still, the count remains no balls, two strikes. Runner leading off of second. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So after giving up the infield single and then the steal to Kyle Norton, the first baseman, Hofferson strikes out the next two batters, and he's looking pretty comfortable now with Braxton Riley coming up to the plate. Riley is also 0-for-3 tonight. He'll be looking for his first base hit. Looks like he's been having a hard time seeing the ball lately. Just can't make any real solid contact. We'll see if he can change that here in this at-bat against Hofferson. Here's the pitch. Low fastball. Little underneath the strike zone for ball one. So it'll be a 1-0 count now to Braxton Riley as Hofferson comes set and delivers. Swung on and fouled back into the net. It'll be one ball and one strike to Braxton Riley. And he'll step out of the box as Hofferson gets a new ball. Now Hofferson will take his sign and come set. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and tapped foul. And it looks like it hit right off of Riley's foot. He doesn't look to be in a lot of pain, but he's going to take a quick walk around the plate. It'll be a 1-2 count to Braxton Riley. Still, we've got Kyle Norton over there at second. Two outs in the inning as Hofferson has struck out his last two batters. We'll see if Riley can come up clutch and extend this two-run lead here in the bottom of the seventh inning. Here comes the pitch from Hofferson. That one's going to be fouled off back into the net once again. And the count will remain a ball and two strikes. So now Braxton Riley doing a good job of battling here. Still hasn't been able to put good wood on one yet. But he'll try to do so on the next pitch as now Hofferson's going to get a new ball. And the home plate umpire will brush off the plate a little bit before Riley steps up. Now Hofferson looks down and grabs his sign. He'll quickly check back that runner at second. Now deliver. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted high. Right to the first baseman. That is, it's under to make the catch for out. So that'll bring us to the top of the eighth, folks. Remember, Colt 45's lead by two runs, and this game is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash. Quick and Clean Car Wash. Reading,
blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Tired of the long drive to the airport?
Fly from Reading Regional Airport instead and travel the world with one connection with United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Reading Regional Airport is close to home, and you'll enjoy quick check-ins, ease, and convenience. Getting to where you're going is easy. Book your flight from Reading Regional Airport nonstop to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Take the vacation you've been dreaming about. Fly with ease and convenience at Reading Regional Airport.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is the top of the eighth inning here at Tiger Field. And finally, we have a new pitcher out onto the mound for the Reading Colt 45s. Looks like it's going to be number 13, Thomas Canfield. We know Canfield's got a lot of velocity on that fastball, and he's got good control as well. So he'll attempt to shut out the Kings here in the top of the eighth and hold that two-run lead for the Colt 45s. Looks like there hasn't been any other defensive substitutions, but I will let you all know if that changes. Now Canfield is going to finish off his last couple of warm-up pitches. He's going to be going up against the top of the order in Joey D'Amelio, who is about to come up to the plate. Now Camarena will deliver a warm-up throw on down to second. And D'Amelio will come up. It'll be his first time against Canfield this season. And he'll have the advantage as he's a righty. And Canfield is throwing from the left side. So now Canfield looks down and takes his sign. Comes set. He pitches out of the stretch, even with no runners on. Here's the pitch. It's going to be a fastball. Misses the outside corner for ball one. So it'll be a ball with no strikes to D'Amelio. Canfield now. Comes set. 1-0 count. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. So it'll be a ball and a strike to Joey D'Amelio. D'Amelio steps into the box. On the way. Low breaking ball for ball two. So two count out of D'Amelio. And he's looking to start something off for the West Coast Kings. Again, they trail the Colt 45s by two. It's 6-4 here in the top of the eighth. 2-1 pitch. Here it is. Fastball high and outside. And now Canfield seems to be struggling a little bit with control. Three balls and one strike now. D'Amelio steps back into the box. Canfield comes set. 3-1 delivery. Here it is. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike two. Nice action pitch there from Canfield, and D'Amelio couldn't quite catch up to that one. So it'll be a full count now with no outs here in the top of the eighth inning. Canfield peers down and gets his sign. Now he'll come set. Once again, pitching out of the stretch. Payoff pitch. Here it comes. Fastball right off the outside corner. And D'Amelio will take a walk and go over to first. And some fans are extremely upset at that call. They thought that one caught the outside corner. But the home plate umpire says no. Oh. And it'll be number 39, Josiah Rodriguez, who has a single, double, and home run in this game so far. He's just a triple short of the cycle. Canfield comes set, checks back the runner. Here's the pitch. One's going to be in the dirt. Fastball for ball one. So it'll be a ball and no strikes to Josiah Rodriguez, looking to put some runs up for the West Coast Kings. Again, they're down by two here. 1-0 pitch from Canfield. Here it comes. And still, Canfield just struggling with his locations a little bit. Camarena, the catcher, will call time and head on out to the mound. Just have a quick chat with Canfield. Probably try to settle him down a little bit. Now he'll head back behind the plate Again, you've got Joey D'Amelio leading off of first after drawing a walk. Rodriguez looking to put bat on ball once again here tonight. He's 3-for-3. 2-0 pitch now as Canfield comes set is on the way. Fastball in there for strike one. Nice fastball right in there on the inside corner. Get himself a strike. It'll be a 2-1 count now to Rodriguez as Canfield peers down, takes his sign. Now comes set again. Here's the 2-1. Swung on and lifted high and deep into right field. Under it is going to be Fenn. He will make the catch for out number one. So, Josiah Rodriguez, unfortunately for the Kings, cannot execute with a runner on first. He lifts one into deep right field for an out, and that'll bring up Seth Gwynn for the fourth time tonight. It'll be his first time facing off against the pitcher Canfield. Still, Joey D'Amelio leading off of first. Colt 45 is looking for a double play here. Runner goes. The throw down is going to be not in time. And Joey D'Amelio got a really good jump. You could tell Canfield really tipped off his movement to home plate. It was a high leg lift, and the minute the foot came off the ground, you could tell he wasn't even thinking about throwing on over to first. So D'Amelio took off right away, and that good jump was what barely got him ahead of the throw. So it'll be an 0-1 count now to Seth Gwynn with a runner on second. No force play. Here's the pitch. It's going to be a breaking ball in there for strike two. So a quick 0-2 count now to Seth Gwynn. Peering back down is Canfield. He'll come set. 0-2 pitch. Now on the way. Low fastball. Ball two. So two balls and two strikes now to Seth Gwynn. Again, Joey D'Amelio leading off of second. Canfield takes his sign. Now he'll come set. The 2-2 pitch is on the way. High ball. So it'll be a 3-2 count now to Seth Gwynn. Canfield seems to be struggling here with two strikes. Just can't execute that good two-strike action pitch. Here's the pitch, another high breaking ball. And I apologize, it was a 2-2 count, so now it'll move over to a full count. So it'll be three balls, two strikes, and one out. Again, no force for the Colt 45s here in this situation as Canfield comes set. And now he'll deliver. Low, ball four. So once again, Canfield gives up a walk. That's his second walk of the inning. He's only got one out. Now the West Coast Kings are threatening with runners on first and second. And Drew Giannini up to the plate. And now the Reading Colt 45's manager is going to come out to the mound. They've got some action over there in the bullpen. So they might be trying to buy some time with this mound meeting. I don't think they're going to take the ball from him yet. It'll be one out for Drew Giannini. Again, he's got runners at first and second. And a double could probably tie up this ball game. A single would most likely score one and put the Kings within one run of the Colt 45s. So the mound meeting will end, and our manager heads back to the dugout. Camarena heads back behind the plate, and Drew Giannini steps up to the plate. Again, runners on first and second. West Coast Kings trail by two with one out here in the top of the eighth inning. Now, Canfield comes set. Here comes the pitch. That one's going to be in the dirt. It'll bounce past the catcher, Camarena, and the runners will advance. So Canfield completely lost control of that one, spiked it in the dirt. Camarena really had no chance to block it. It was a wild pitch. And now there will be no force out for the Colt 45s.
on the bright side for Canfield, he's got a base to work with, so a walk wouldn't be the end of the world. However, he's already given up 2 walks in this inning as he throws one high, and that one hits off the bat of the batter, Drew Giannini. It went over his head. He ducked his head but didn't get his bat down, and it hit right off the bat. So it'll be called a foul ball, and that's a tough break for Giannini, but a nice break for the pitcher Canfield. Now he'll deliver a breaking ball outside of the zone, and you can tell he just does not have control of his pitches tonight. It's a 2-1 count, and now the manager in the middle of the batter is going to come in and take Canfield out. Now, an interesting decision here to take Canfield out in the middle of an at-bat, but we'll see if it will work out for the Colt 45s. So, while our new pitcher warms up, we're going to head to break, and we'll see you when Jaden Lee comes up to the plate.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. So, it's going to be Ivan Rodriguez, it looks like, out onto the mound for the Colt 45s. He has not yet started to warm up. But now he'll throw his first warm-up pitches. Again, we've got runners at first and second. An interesting decision by the Colt 45s manager to take out Thomas Canfield in the middle of an at-bat. However, he had already given up 2 walks. You could tell his control was just not there at all. So he was kind of headed for a third walk, it looked like. But Ivan Rodriguez will come in with a 2-1 count on Jaden Lee, and he'll try to get the out. Sorry, I apologize. Not Jaden Lee. It's Drew Giannini up to the plate still. So he's going to continue to warm up. His control is looking pretty good out there on the mound as he does warm up. And now I'm struggling to see. I'm trying to make sure that that is Ivan Rodriguez. Yes, it is. So now we're going to finish up the last couple of warm-up pitches for Ivan Rodriguez. And now it's going to be Giannini up still. So, again, 2-1 count. Runners on second and third for the Kings. Here's the pitch. Low fastball does not catch the bottom of the zone. It'll be 3 balls and a strike to the third baseman, Giannini. Colt 45's in a pinch here. A single might tie up this ball game. Here comes the pitch from Rodriguez. Swung on and fouled back behind the stands. That'll make it a full count. So it'll be 3 balls and 2 strikes to Giannini. As the umpire is going to get down and dust off the plate. Now Giannini will step back up. Rodriguez comes set and delivers. Swung on and grounded to the second baseman, Vila. He'll field it, thrown over to first. Will be in time for out number 2. But the Kings will score a run, and now they trail by just 1 here in the bottom of the 8th. It'll be 2 outs for Jaden Lee. And Seth Gwynn leading off of third now. So King still in a position to tie it up. But we'll see if the Colt 45s can hold them. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Way outside of the zone for ball 1. So the Kings need a base hit here. Anything else would end the inning, or anything other than an out would end the inning. Anything else would score a run. 2-0 count now to Jaden Lee as he steps back into the box. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. 2-1 count. Two balls and a strike, two outs. Runner leading off of third again. Colt 45's lead, 6-5 here in the top of the eighth inning. Rodriguez looking to get out of it. 2-1 pitch on the way. Swung on and lifted high into center field. Charging in is Rafael. He'll get under it and make the catch. So the Colt 45s hold the lead, but they'll have to continue to do so in the top of the ninth. First, we'll head to the bottom of the eighth, where they'll look to extend the lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. They invite you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand scrub your car or truck. Stop by today, Quick and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Bob the Drop here. I recently confronted the sneaky villain, Hydro Shadow. He created a robot that looked like me, and then he activated the robot. But I was able to push the self-destruct button to defeat this inferior threat. If you would like the great taste that can't be imitated delivered to your door, give us a call at 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta Springwater.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. It's going to be Hofferson back out onto the mound for the West Coast Kings after allowing three runs in the bottom of the sixth. He came in and delivered a shutout inning in the bottom of the seventh, and now he'll be looking to do the same here in the bottom of the eighth. It's going to be McGuire Smith, the designated hitter, up to the plate. And we know Smith's got a lot of power. He's hit a couple of balls on the wire here tonight. As Hofferson gets ready and delivers out of the windup, here's the pitch. Swung on and driven deep into right field. Going back is the right fielder, Gwynn, and he will make the catch at the warning track. So another hammered ball from McGuire Smith is unfortunately handled by this West Coast defense. And it's nothing to do with him. It's just the luck of the draw sometimes. So it'll be Joel Calder and Serrano up to the plate, as the West Coast Kings have a quick out here in this inning. Now the pitch. Fastball in there on the inside corner for strike one. So an 0-1 count to start off Calderon. Hofferson looks down and takes his sign. Out of the windup again. No, he'll step off. Now he'll look down for his sign again. Come set. Once again out of the windup. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Breaking ball. Almost in the dirt for ball one. It'll be a ball and a strike to Joel Calderon Serrano. Calderon steps in the box. The 1-1 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Nice fastball there from Hofferson. Calderon couldn't catch up. Colt 45 is looking to extend this one-run lead here in the bottom of the eighth inning. 1-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So, two quick outs here for the West Coast Kings as Dusty Vila, the number nine hole, comes up to the plate. And with two outs, he'll look to start things off with the Colt 45s, maybe get something going here. Again, the Colt 45s lead by one. They're looking to score some insurance runs here before they head into the top of the ninth to try to end it. Hofferson now delivering to Vila. Check swing. No appeal. Looked like he almost went on that one. If I'm a catcher, I'm definitely appealing that, but no appeal there. It'll be one ball and no strikes. The pitch, fastball, swung on and fouled up and over the backside of the net. So the count will even up at a ball and a strike. Hofferson gets a new ball and takes a little bit of a walk around the around the mound before stepping back up on the rubber. Now he'll take his sign. Still out of the windup with no runners on. The 1-1 pitch. Fastball misses the outside corner of the zone for ball two. It'll be two balls and a strike to Dusty Vila. Now Vila will step back in the box. Here comes the delivery from Hofferson. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Vila trying to get a hold of that one. Just couldn't quite catch up to it. Pulled his head a little bit. And the count will even up at two balls and two strikes. So Vila's done a great job of battling here tonight with two strikes. We'll see if he can continue to do so. As Hofferson steps off the mound, now steps back on to retake his sign. 2-2 pitch. Here it is. Swung on and fouled once again. So, again, Vila not willing to go down without a fight. He's going to battle here with two strikes. Colt 45s have two outs here. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. They lead by one. The score is 6-5 here in the bottom of the eighth inning. They're looking to score some insurance runs, as I mentioned. Let's see if Vila can get some started for them. 2-2 pitch for the second time. Outside fastball. Misses way outside for ball three. So the count will fill up. And this is not the first time we've seen a full count on Vila after going down in the count. He's been battling all night, and he might be able to draw his second walk of the game. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lined into right field. That one will get down for a base hit. And the Colt 45s have a runner on first here with two outs in the bottom of the eighth. So now we'll see if Vila will try to utilize that speed to maybe get himself into scoring position with Colby Rafael up to the plate. If the Colt 45s can get a steal here and get Vila into scoring position, that would set him up for a run in the case of a base hit with two outs. It's kind of what they need. Here comes the pitch from Hofferson. That's going to be a line shot on the ground to the second baseman. He'll field it easily and throw over to second for the third out of the inning. So it looked like a spark there from Vila, but it's quickly shut down. Colt 45 still hold the lead. It is 6-5 as we head into the top of the ninth, and they will look to hold this game and hold their undefeated record. Folks, we'll come back after this break. Remember, this Colt 45's baseball game is brought to you by Click and Clean Car Wash. They've got an all-cloth car wash, and they're going to take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. So stop by today, Click and Clean Car Wash.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs, just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It is the top of the ninth inning here at Tiger Field. Colt 45 just three outs away from extending their winning streak and holding their undefeated record. It's going to be Ivan Rodriguez back out on the mound. He'll look for the save here as the Colt 45s lead by one. It's going to be Mike Baker up to the plate as he sees a fastball low for ball one. West Coast Kings in their last opportunity to tie up this ball game and potentially take the lead. Score is 6-5 here in the top of the ninth as a fastball runs in for strike one. So it's a 1-1 count to Baker now. Really tight game. It's been a thriller tonight. A lot of lead changes, and the Kings hoping for another one as a breaking ball comes in inside for ball two. It'll be a 2-1 count now as Rodriguez slips back up onto the rubber. Out of the windup, here's the 2-1 pitch. High fastball misses the zone. It's going to be 3 balls and a strike now to the shortstop, Baker. Rodriguez back out of the windup. Here's the pitch. High fastball runs up and in, almost nailed Baker in the head. And we've got some activity over there in the Colt 45's bullpen as Rodriguez allows a walk. So now, with no outs, it's going to be Tyler Smith, designated hitter, up to the plate. We know he's got a little bit of power from the right side there, and he'll try to make something happen for the Kings. The tying run is at first. The go-ahead run is at the plate. Rodriguez comes set out of the stretch. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. Catches the outside corner. Nice pitch there from Rodriguez. He now looks down and takes his sign. Now we'll look over at the runner, who's taking an extra step off of first there. 0-1 pitch. Here it is. Swing and a miss. Strike two. So two fastballs. One was watched for a strike, and one was swung at for a strike. Either way, it'll be an 0-2 count now to the designated hitter. Now Rodriguez will once again check back the runner. Here's the pitch. Swung on. This time fouled back into the net. Tried to get him with another fastball, but this time Smith able to just catch up to it enough to foul it off. So he'll stay alive. Count will remain no balls and two strikes. Rodriguez trying to pitch to a double play here. 0-2 on the way. Swung on. Once again, fouled back to pretty much the exact same spot on the net. And Tyler Smith is making it clear he won't go down without a fight. Rodriguez still trying to assert that fastball. No balls and two strikes. Rodriguez checks back to the runner. Now comes set. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball just off the outside corner. A lot of the fans not happy with that call. It's a ball and two strikes. So you've got Baker over there taking his lead off of first. Still, we've got no outs. Here's the pitch. Another breaking ball. This one's going to be swung on and fouled back into the net once again. So Tyler Smith, the designated hitter, is really battling here with two strikes. He's fouled off 3 pitches with 2 strikes now. Now a back pick to first is going to be in the dirt, gloved by Kyle Norton. Nice job picking it. Still, Baker is going to slide back in safely. His count remains a ball and 2 strikes to Smith as Rodriguez comes set, now delivers. Swing and a miss, strike 3. Got him with an upstairs fastball, and Smith just couldn't catch up. So, it'll be number 3, Riley Pimentel, coming up to the plate. Again, the score is 6-5 here in the top of the ninth inning. The Colt 45 is now just 2 outs away from ending this ball game. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball just misses the bottom of the zone for ball one. The fans, once again, not too happy with that call from the umpire as Pimentel steps back into the box. Now Rodriguez comes set and delivers. High fastball up and in on Pimentel. Came a little close to his face there as he backs off the plate. Quick 2-0 count to the first baseman. Baker still getting his lead over at first. Now Rodriguez will come set. 2-0 count. Here's the pitch. Swung on and popped right up down the first baseline. Under it is going to be Norton, and he will make the catch for out number 2. So now with Mike Baker on first, the West Coast Kings are down to their final out of the ball game. It's going to be Jake Lyle up to the plate. Again, Baker over there at first represents that tying run. Lyle represents the winning run. And they're going to need a little bit of a miracle here with 2 outs in order to make something happen. Colts lead 6-5. From the stretch, here comes Rodriguez. Breaking ball, once again, a little low, misses the bottom of the zone. He's looking really good with that curveball. Just can't seem to lift it high enough to catch that bottom of the strike zone. 1-0 pitch now. The fastball catches the outside corner this time for strike one. So Rodriguez two strikes away from the save. Baker leading off of first. 1-1 count. Here's the pitch. Swung on and drilled to the shortstop on the ground. He'll throw over to second in time for the third out of the ball game. A nice play by Calderon, the shortstop, to get that ball and make a quick throw on over to second for the final out of the ball game. And Ivan Rodriguez picks himself up the save. So the Colt 45s take their eighth straight win, and they are 8-0 on the season, undefeated so far. And a great game ends up in another win. I got to say, I think that's the closest game of the season so far. Colt 45s wins 6-5. And they'll look to do it again tomorrow, folks. Same time, 7:15 here at Tiger Field against the West Coast Kings. Signing off, I'm Austin White. Come and listen again tomorrow. Have a good night.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The biggest brainwashing efforts, one of the biggest PSYOP campaigns of all, is the campaign to convince us that morbid obesity is healthy and beautiful. We've seen this all over the place, including Dove's disturbing new ad campaign featuring an obese social justice activist, as well as Gillette's creepy demand that we love our skin, Victoria's Secret's so-called body-positive fashion shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of these campaigns, among many others, are a disingenuous effort to convince Americans that being fat and unhealthy is, in fact, beautiful and wonderful and great. We're expected to suspend our senses and affirm yet another thing that is obviously not true. But amid this intense bombardment of pro-obesity propaganda, what just happened at the National American Miss Pageant manages to stand out. This is an event that, according to its website, aims to foster positive self-image by enhancing the natural beauty within. Now, it's distinct from the better-known Miss America pageant. Normally, doesn't get that much attention. It's getting attention this year, though, because the National American Miss Pageant just named a morbidly obese 23-year-old woman named Sarah Milliken as their Miss Alabama. She'll go on to compete at the national level later this year. Watch.
A woman from Atmore is living her dream, representing the state of Alabama in the National American Miss Program. WKRG News 5 Summer Pool introduces us to this inspiring young woman.
A crowning achievement, 8 years in the making.
Sarah Milliken of Atmore has competed in the National American Miss program since she was 15.
I competed once as a junior teen when I was 15, again as a teen when I was 16, and not placing, that was really, really hard.
Now at 23, the famous saying rings true, third time's a charm.
Just being able to come back 8 years later and say, okay, I didn't give up on this dream, and now because I didn't give up on it, I get to be the next Miss Alabama and wear this crown for a year.
Now, there's at least some cause for relief here because as far as we could tell, Sarah Milliken is indeed an actual woman. So, that in some ways is an improvement. That's a point in her favor because you can't take that for granted these days. And that's how low the bar is these days with these pageants. Unfortunately, just about everything else about this display is disturbing. To be clear, as far as I can tell, the National American Miss Pageant is ostensibly supposed to celebrate beauty. They do talk about positive self-image and all that, but it does appear that most of the contestants actually put some effort into their appearance and are, you know, basically healthy for the most part. Here's a look at Milliken's competitors just to give you some idea. And, for the most part, a traditional beauty pageant sort of look, with one and a half notable exceptions. And as you can see, they're not all obese. They look healthy for the most part. So, how exactly did Milliken squash the competition? How did she win? From that interview, it sounds a bit like she just sort of wore down the judges. She kept coming back year after year, presumably getting larger and larger each time. And then maybe the judges decided to put an end to it before things just got completely out of hand. Quote, because I didn't give up on it, I get to be the next Miss Alabama, she says. Now, normally when people say something like that, they're referring to all the hard work that they did in the interim. They're implying that they endured some form of personal sacrifice and proved themselves before ultimately winning the prize. But that's not the case here. This woman just kept throwing herself at this competition until, she tipped the scales in her favor somehow. Now, to be fair, as the interview went on, Milliken did attempt to provide some clarity as to what exactly she was doing for the 8 years that she was trying to win this competition. Watch.
I hope that they learned that no matter what your body looks like, no matter where you come from, you can do anything that you set your mind to. No, I didn't think that it was possible for a plus-size girl to win. I didn't think it was possible for a girl from small-town Alabama to win.
Getting that win took a lot of hard work.
I worked literally every single day for 365 days. There wasn't a day that I wasn't practicing my on-stage speech or my introduction, interview.
So she was working every day for 365 days on her speech and interview prep. Now, left unstated is that she was also overeating, dangerously so, the entire time. And it's strange that she doesn't mention that. After all, it's a big part of this interview, her whole story. She's presenting herself as a success story because she won despite being obese. So why isn't she proud of the fact that she's obese? Why isn't she telling us exactly how much you have to eat in order to get her figure? If it's not shameful and dangerous to be critically obese, then why shy away from talking about it? Now, at one point in that clip, you heard this woman utter the cliche, you can do anything you set your mind to. And it's supposed to be an uplifting message amid all of the online hate that she's receiving. There's also an important point here, which is that this woman is setting herself up for a very early death, and no one encouraging her to pursue that actually has her best interests at heart. If you actually care about this woman, then you would not encourage her to kill herself, and eating that much is a slow motion suicide. Like we all know, you are looking like that. You are not going to live to the age of 75. Doesn't mean you won't live to the age of 75, but you can either choose to cut the weight and then you can live a long and healthy life or not, and you won't. Consider the fact that many of these body positive influencers drop dead before they even hit middle age. So we've seen this play out several times. The Daily Mail just published a roundup on several of them. There was the 33-year-old TikTok star Waffler69, real name Taylor Lejeune, who had 2 million followers the day before he died of a presumed heart attack. He videotaped himself eating a giant Fruit Loop and milk. According to the Daily Mail, Taylor Lejeune didn't flaunt his weight, but there were many other dead influencers who did. For example, here's Professor of Fat Studies Dr. Kat Paws, who I assume that's not her real name, but she died at 42. And according to Dr. Kat Paws, quote, the science isn't quite clear as clear cut as we'd like to believe. There's not really quite a consensus yet about the relationship between weight and health. Obese people, and even morbidly obese people, have just as good health or better health than someone in the normal weight range. And that is obviously insane, tragically insane, because it claimed her own life. But you have to understand that this is something that people are accepting as true. This has become a popular myth among many people, that being massively overweight doesn't necessarily mean you're unhealthy. There's also 37-year-old Jamie Lopez, who founded a salon for plus-size women and pushed body positivity. Her show was called Supersized Salon. It lasted just one season before she died. And according to the Federalist, she weighed more than 800 pounds at one point and came up with the idea for her company while confined to her bed. At her heaviest, Lopez weighed 846 pounds and designed her company while, again, confined to a bed. This is the consequence of this body positivity agenda. And the truth is that obesity cannot be beautiful for the same reason that cancerous tumors can't be beautiful, because it is toxic. It is destructive to the human person. Seeing beauty in self-destruction is inherently disordered. They know they can't actually convince anyone, or hardly anyone, to buy into the fat is beautiful lie. So instead they try to manipulate us into pretending that we buy into it with news reports and beauty pageants and body positivity campaigns that insult our intelligence. That's the real reason they're parading this hapless poor woman around. And it's why the National American Miss Pageant, everyone else who pretends that heart disease and an early death are beautiful, are today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasia Stevens. A new development in former President Trump's New York case.
Judge Juan Merchan, the judge overseeing the Donald Trump criminal trial, sent a letter to the Trump defense attorneys and the prosecution about a posting on the Unified Court System's public Facebook page. The comment stated, "My cousin is a juror and says Trump is getting convicted. Thank you, folks, for all your hard work." It's not clear if the individual who posted the comment is, in fact, related to a jury member that heard the case or had indeed received information about the verdict. Trump was found guilty on all 34 counts of falsifying business records and is scheduled to appear for sentencing on July 11th. I'm Bill Alexander in Washington.
Under New York law, a defendant can move to vacate a verdict on the basis of juror misconduct if and only if he can prove by a preponderance of the evidence that there was misconduct and that the misconduct created a substantial risk of prejudice. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby says Russia's advance on Ukraine's second-largest city is all but over.
While they are still under pressure from the Russians, particularly in the east, that because they have now been able to receive the benefits of five security packages and now six coming, as the president announced today, that they have been able to thwart Russian advances, particularly around Kharkiv. The Russians really have kind of stalled out up there.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says he'll defy subpoenas from congressional Republicans that he does not agree with. This comes after Republicans threaten to hold him in contempt in their efforts to gain access to audio recordings of President Biden with Special Counsel Robert Hur. Garland's refusal comes the same time the Biden administration is having Trump ally Steve Bannon jailed for not appearing before a January 6th committee. More at townhall.com.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-932-8603 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-932-8603. That's 800-932-8603. What do you have to lose? Call 800-932-8603. Again, 800-932-8603.
A major recall in the works.
Kia America is recalling nearly 463,000 Telluride SUVs and urging owners to park their cars outside and away from other structures until an issue posing a fire hazard is fixed. The front power seat motor on the affected Tellurides from the 2020 to 2024 model years may overheat because of a stuck slide knob. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the defect could potentially result in a fire while the car is parked or being driven. Kia is said to have received reports of one underseat fire and six incidents of localized melting in the seat tilt motor. I'm Norman Hall.
The Belmont Stakes later today in New York. This year's final leg of the Triple Crown taking place at Saratoga Racecourse due to construction at Belmont Park. It means the distance of the race will decrease from 1.5 miles to 1.25 miles. News and analysis at townhall.com. Drug overdose deaths in Kentucky fell nearly 10% last year.
It marks the second straight yearly decline, but Governor Andy Beshear says the fight against addiction is far from over. Officials credit a comprehensive response that includes treatment and prevention as well as illegal drug seizures by law enforcement. U.S. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says the latest report is a cause for hope. McConnell has steered huge sums of funding to his home state over the years to help combat addiction. John Scott reporting.
The heat wave has been baking much of the West with triple-digit temperatures. Looks to continue over the weekend and into next week. Temperatures are forecast to reach their highest since last summer from parts of interior California into Oregon and the Rockies. The final Wheel of Fortune episode, hosted by Pat Sajak, aired last night. He hosted the show since 1981, announced his retirement last year. Ryan Seacrest, set to replace Sajak. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Cascade Curations in downtown Reading is a unique destination location. Cascade Curations is a vibrant hub celebrating the creativity and talent of local artists, musicians, and designers. Clothing racks are stocked with upcycled and upscale thrift, as well as new clothing unlike anywhere else. Whether you're seeking beautiful artwork to adorn your home, new music to inspire you, or musical instruments and gear to play, Cascade Curations is a must-visit spot to immerse yourself in Reading's thriving arts and culture scene, located in the Foundry Square next to the
If your pest control company has you wondering what stresses you out more, the bugs they miss or the bill they send you, then it's time to ditch big corporate pest control and call your local guys, Jefferson Pest Control. We have a combined 70 years of experience in dealing with pests including termites, ants, spiders, roaches, rodents, and more. We're local, we're fair, we answer the phone, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're Jefferson Pest Control. You can find us on Google.
Blue skies and sunny days are here, and so is summer travel. That's why Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck, where they work hard to remove the bugs just in case your vehicle is a summer bug magnet. Quick and Clean is fast, convenient, and has a towel-dry exit. Quick and Clean at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Secret Service, but pay no attention to that. All in the courtroom, the courtroom is bristling with firearms, isn't it, with guns on, and it's kind of ironic since it's a gun trial, and one of the guns in the room is Hunter Biden's Colt Cobra, a .38 special, right? And remarkable stuff. But Jill hopped on one of our airliners and flew back from Normandy, France, to sit in the courtroom with Hunter. And then she's going to get back on one of her 757s and fly back to France for a state dinner with Emmanuel Macron. Macron and fromage. He's the macaroni and cheese of French presidents. And remarkable stuff, remarkable. So, and you know what that does to the environment? Because I don't even think she's on a Gulfstream 5 or a Gulfstream 6 like John Kerry uses when he flies around his wife's plane. She's not great to look at, that wife of his current wife. But, you know, she's got a lot of toys, a lot of stuff. Got the jets and the mansions and the oceanfront stuff. And I'm sure they have boats. Oh, yeah, he got that yacht. Remember the yacht? He parked the yacht in the state next door so he didn't have to pay Massachusetts taxes. Remember that? The yacht, the jet. And then he complains that other people drive cars because they're destroying the environment and the planet. Remarkable stuff. And Dr. Jill hopping on an Air Force plane coming home from France to sit in the courtroom, which is jury intimidation and judge intimidation, especially in Delaware. And that's all fine. And then she's going to fly back for dinner with Emmanuel Macron. And who knows what might happen along the way. But never mind all that. So we got that going for us. Also, it is an amazing thing. The news media, what they do. First of all, the laptop is back in the news, as though we didn't all know that it was Hunter Biden's laptop, and now we've got to play another game of make-believe and pretend that everybody didn't know that it was Hunter Biden's laptop all along. With the videos of Hunter Biden naked with hookers and the who else's laptop could it be? And the pictures of Hunter Biden smoking crack and passing out in bathtubs and Hunter Biden with the Russian prostitute and Hunter Biden with and Hunter Biden with. And then the emails and everybody involved, Tony Bobulinski comes out and says, oh, yeah, that's an Joe Biden is big guy who gets 10%. He gets a 10% cut. And the news media is still, no, it's Rudy Giuliani is a communist agent working with Vladimir Putin and the Russians. And they created a fake laptop and millions of Americans believe this because millions of Americans were told this again and again. They were told this on late night TV by the likes of Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert. They were told this on The View. They were told this on Saturday Night Live. They were told this everywhere you went. Oh, yeah, the laptop is a fake. Those Russians and the Republicans, because that makes sense. Not the left in the United States, the Democrat Party, and the commies, Putin. And speaking of which, Joe Biden yesterday said that he's known Vladimir Putin for more than 40 years. For more than 40 years, that's what he said. They're old pals, Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin. They've been hanging out since, and anybody can look this up, but ABC News doesn't, and ABC News didn't, even though he was doing the interview with ABC News and that pixie Dondi boy, David Muir. And he, oh, yeah, I've been hanging out with Putin for more than 40 years. Which brings us back to 1984. 1984, he's been hanging out. I think that was his second term in the Senate, Joe Biden. And And he said he's known Putin for more than 40 years, for more than four decades. It turns out that Vlad the Impaler Putin 40 years ago was a KGB agent, of course, but he was undercover. He was deep undercover in East Germany, in Dresden and East Berlin. And Vlad the Impaler Putin, the KGB agent 40 years ago and more, apparently was palling around with Joe Biden. What was Joe Biden doing palling around with Vladimir Putin more than 40 years ago? That's completely nuts. Well, how does that make sense? But he said that, and David Muir didn't raise an eyebrow at ABC News. Nobody said, oh, really? He's been hanging out with Putin since Putin was a deep cover KGB operative?
Does Vladimir Putin concern you?
I've known him for over 40 years. He's concerned me for 40 years.
What a lying
sack of
shit.
He's not a decent man. He's a dictator.
Yeah. Remember when Barack Obama was a dictator? Remember that MSNBC thing? I don't think I can tell that joke anymore. Who is it? Halperin, right? Mark Halperin on Morning Joke called, said that Barack Obama was being a male appendage. And a man's name said he was being, and I said, wow, oh, right? And does he remember this? And then there was, what do you get when you cross Barack Obama and a potato? And a potato. And it was a dictator, because that's what you get. That was another joke and another time. Completely crazy. Also, the Washington, so I've got a, there's a lot of mop up to do, and somebody put together a really wonderful 20-minute long video of a montage of the news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, again and again and again, lying their scabrous rumpies off, that the laptop was clearly Russian disinformation. Intelligence officials, John Brennan, who's the Communist Party voter, John Brennan, that Barack Obama mentored by a Communist Party member. Barack Obama made the CIA director, and then that CIA director who voted for Gus Hall, the Communist Party candidate for president, John Brennan, penitentiary face, as he's known, he was one of the people spearheading, along with our current Secretary of State, this big lie, the felonious 51, the big lie letter. Oh, yeah, this Hunter Biden laptop has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. The Russian disinformation was coming from our own intelligence community, who might as well be communist agents as CIA director delete might as well be. Honestly, if you're a Communist Party voter, you become CIA director. Okay, all right, let's let that slide. Until you launch an information operation against the American people and corrupt our presidential election so that the lefty wins and the pro-American guy loses. And there are no handcuffs, there are no pre-dawn raids, there are no frog marches. Peter Navarro is sitting in prison right now, and Steve Bannon is on his way to prison, they announced yesterday. And they're trying to put Donald Trump in prison because, you know, oongala boongala, because we're a third world country. The left is here, and they will jail all of their political enemies. So once again, we've got to, because the laptop is the centerpiece of evidence in the Hunter Biden trial in Delaware being used by the alleged Justice Department, the Injustice Department, the opposite of Justice Department, and it's the centerpiece of evidence. And the FBI had it a year before we knew the FBI had it, and they let everybody, the FBI, another stain on their wretched soul. And they let everybody go around saying, oh, yeah, it's Russian disinformation, when the FBI knew that it was Hunter Biden's laptop for a year. And they lie by omission. They lie by commission. They lie. They lie when they're sitting by themselves in their car at a red light. They lie when they lay their heads down on the pillow at night. These are liars. Oh, speaking of liars, and this is a pretty wild one, I've got to say. And my friend Barry sent me this morning. I think it's a Washington Post. They tweeted out on X. It is a Washington Post headline, and the headline reads, for decades, Catholic leaders abused Native American children at government-enforced boarding schools, a Post investigation found. And there's a giant color picture of Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump has absolutely nothing to do with the story, but it's a negative story about the Catholic Church, which they like very much. By the way, every adult man that molests a little boy is a gay adult man that molests little boys. Since it's Pride Month, I wanted to bring that up. Oh, yeah, last night also at the Nationals game in Washington, D.C., Major League Baseball, it's Gay Pride Month, as you may have heard something about that. Also yesterday was the 80th anniversary of D-Day, the Normandy invasion. That's why Joe Biden was there stumbling around in France and his wife. We won't even get into that. But at the Nationals Park last night, the baseball game, they had, I think it was the D.C. Gay Men's Choir come out to sing the national anthem because it's Pride Month and they're gay pride flags all over the stadium and stuff. But not a single mention of the 80th anniversary of D-Day, of the Normandy invasion. Even, you know, their boy Joe Biden is there trying not to fall off the stage. Not a mention of the 80th anniversary of Normandy at the baseball stadium. But the left, you see, they own everything in there. They're poison. They're toxic. Just like the Washington Post putting out this picture of Donald Trump. In the name of God is the sub-headline. Native American children endured years of sexual abuse at boarding schools. Well, that is horrible, and everybody ought to be held accountable and to the full extent of the law. But why is there a giant color picture of Donald Trump as the photo for that story? And the answer is, there is a simple one-word answer. Hate. Hate. Hate is the correct answer. Remarkable. You're a Democrat party. They're Democrats, and they hate. It's what they do. It's the one thing, well, they destroy. It's not the only thing they do. They destroy, they carjack, they loot, they shoot, they murder. They're the Democrats. They're trying to get the vote to every incarcerated person in America because they know that's an untapped vein of Democrat votes. That's the reason. Mm-mm-mm. So let me go to my big stories list here because I have my big stories list right in front of me. Jill Biden leaves France to attend Hunter Biden's trial, the New York Times. But in the New York Times version, it's not jury intimidation, and she's not polluting the environment by flying an airliner just for her home from France across the Atlantic Ocean and then back to France on the same, undoubtedly, one of the 757s. I've flown on those 757s many times out of Andrews Air Force Base. Not lately, but... Jill Biden, a fixture at Hunter Biden's trial, juggles role as first lady and mom. Not really her mom. And I love this one. This is my favorite, the Washington Post. At Hunter Biden's trial, comma, Jill Biden can only watch. Well, I think she likes to watch, doesn't she? That reminds me of Hunter's laptop, because... You know, there's lots to watch on Hunter Biden's laptop, all the videos and the hookers and the crack and the chopping up the powdered cocaine and the strippers and the, Jill Biden can only watch. She likes to watch. Joe likes to watch, too. Like Chauncey Gardner. Honestly. Hunter Biden laptop re-emerges as media embarrassment as it becomes key evidence at gun trial. Remarkable stuff. President Trump also, he's had a few things to say about this. And I'll remind you of some of the lies that the media told us. Hillary Clinton embarrasses herself, which is a difficult thing for her to do. Sick and disgusting D-Day anniversary post. That is coming up. And an update on the Houthi rebels. Gosh, we've got so much crazy. Thanks to the Democrats. And a Pat Sajak update. Don't get a lot of those. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Why do so many dogs suffer from weight issues, skin problems, messy poops, and low energy? It could be the popular dog food you put in their bowl each day.
Cody was sleeping a lot, wasn't playing.
She was very lethargic and not moving around.
Dry kibble just wasn't cutting it.
That's why, after more than 45 years of experience of helping dogs make complete health turnarounds, veterinarian Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend. It's a freeze-dried raw dog food made with wholesome ingredients like premium meats, seeds, vegetables, and fruit. And once dog parents switch their pups to Nature's Blend, the results can be astounding.
She's got her energy back. She's running around like she did like 5 years ago.
Miraculously, she's just feeling all around better. She's like a new dog. Thank you, Dr. Marty.
Get your dog started today and save up to 54% off Nature's Blend. Plus, receive a free pack of our best-selling beef liver dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/America. Or text America to 511-511. Text America to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Dr. Marty Pets.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch, especially now during this challenging season with health care costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
A healthy weight, more energy, and smooth, regular bowel movements. Three things everyone strives for.
It's me, Chuck Norris. There's one really important thing we don't talk about enough. Our health. Achy joints, digestive issues, weight gain, and fatigue. We are told these are normal signs of aging. So working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick.
Morning Kick is a revolutionary formula combining 10 different supplements in one. Probiotics that help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on earth. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, focused, and help manage stress.
Anybody can achieve great health regardless of their age.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com. Use code COMBO or text COMBO to 511-511 and claim 40% off today.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee.
Text COMBO to 511-511. Morning Kick.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
My name is Joel, and I came to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in December of 1987 to be treated for osteosarcoma, which is bone cancer. We didn't know anything about St. Jude. We didn't know what they meant or that, you know, when we got here, what we would do, how it would be taken care of. And when we arrived, we found out that my family wasn't going to have to pay for any of my treatment, not for my medicine, not for travel, not for housing, not for food. St. Jude was going to cover all that. St. Jude supported me in every way, from, you know, taking that financial burden off my parents to making sure that all of my family was included in this time. St. Jude literally means everything to me. I get to go home to my family tonight. I get to cook dinner for them. That's what you're giving. You are giving us everything by supporting St. Jude. So thank you so much.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
From groan-worthy dad jokes to patching up skinned knees, your one-of-a-kind dad deserves a gift guaranteed to take him to his happy place. Show him the love with a gift as unforgettable as he is. Omaha Steaks. Order the deluxe Father's Day gift package at omahasteaks.com. 20 unforgettable entrees plus 4 free burgers for just $89.99 when you use promo code SIZZLE at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code SIZZLE at checkout.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Thank you.
more, Volodymyr Zelensky showed up at Normandy. You'll never guess why. I mocked yesterday on this subject, and it turns out I was right, even though I was mocking. It's the best way to be right these days. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Rich, calling from Stafford, Virginia. Rich, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Chris. I really appreciate you taking my call. First time call here, long time listener. I think you're doing God's work, and I really appreciate everything you're doing. Hey, I just have one observation here. I understand that the First Lady is going to fly back to support her son in the trial. Since that's an unofficial capacity, it really doesn't have to do with anything when it comes to execution of government business. Doesn't she have to pay that out of her own pocket? I mean, that's a personal expense. And, you know, I support the government. I've traveled for them. And if I had to do anything, any part of the trip that was personal, which is allowed, you just have to pay for that out of pocket. So is that going to be the case here, I wonder?
You're wondering rhetorically, of course.
Yeah, there is sarcasm.
Yeah, there must be. You say you've traveled for the government. What does that mean exactly?
No, I'm retired Air Force, and so I, you know, when I went TDY, I, you know, travel in support of the job that I had to do for them.
Right, you might go space available if you can. But otherwise, yeah, you got to pay for your own travel, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, if it's personal, you know, if it's a personal personal thing, you know, nothing really to do with execution mission for your job. I mean,
did you ever have a crackhead criminal stepson that was on trial? See?
No.
See, well, that's the problem you've got right there. If only you had had a crackhead stepson.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
If your pest control company has you wondering what stresses you out more, the bugs they miss or the bill they send you, then it's time to ditch big corporate pest control and call your local guys, Jefferson Pest Control. We have a combined 70 years of experience in dealing with pests including termites, ants, spiders, roaches, rodents, and more. We're local, we're fair, we answer the phone, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're Jefferson Pest Control. You can find us on Google.
Hey, Redding, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals, starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Redding on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
A Father's Day tradition returns to Benton Field Airport Sunday, June 16th. It's the local EAA Chapter's Aviation Day from 7 to 2. Start your day with breakfast from 7 to 11, served by the Mount Shasta Chapter of 99s. $8 for adults, $5 for 5 to 12. Kids under 5 free. Airplane and helicopter flights will be available. Admission and parking are free. Come see aircraft of all kinds on display. Bring Dad and the whole family to Benton Field on Father's Day.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops that come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
June 8th is your chance to support our veterans. Join Simpson University, Dr. Paul DeNuca, and Josh Barker Real Estate for the Simpson Veteran Success Center Fundraising Gala, featuring John Bartis, founder and chairman of Higher Heroes. You'll be moved by the real stories of Johnny, Ruby, Jess, and Julia. Go to the SimpsonU.edu events page to become a sponsor or reserve your table now. That's SimpsonU.edu/events.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Cascade Curations in downtown Reading is a unique destination location. Cascade Curations is a vibrant hub celebrating the creativity and talent of local artists, musicians, and designers. Clothing racks are stocked with upcycled and upscale thrift, as well as new clothing unlike anywhere else. Whether you're seeking beautiful artwork to adorn your home, new music to inspire you, or musical instruments and gear to play, Cascade Curations is a must-visit spot to immerse yourself in Reading's thriving arts and culture scene, located in a Foundry Square next to the
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Thank you.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
He shows up. He gets $1 billion. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong. I was completely wrong yesterday. Biden says he will sign $225 million aid package to help Ukraine reconstruct its electric grid. The patriarchy gave him the electric grid. And now hang on. So I was completely wrong in that I said $2 billion. And it turns out that Zelensky is showing up, and it's not a long, terribly long trip for him. But at least he didn't have to come to Washington or anything. He just went to Normandy, France, and he got $225 million of your taxpayer dollars and mine, and your kids are going to be paying it off. The Democrats just throw money around like it's not theirs. Oh, yeah, well, that's because it's not theirs. So he goes to Normandy, and he gets $225 million of our dollars because, you know, the military-industrial complex needs the money, and in the United States. And they had Tony Blinken told us that quite some time ago that we've gotten different numbers from different administration officials, that some have said 90% of the money we give to Ukraine for war comes back into the coffers they say it comes back to the United States. What they mean is arms contractors who funnel money to the Democrats and the military-industrial complex, right? And others have said it's only 80% of the money that we send to Ukraine comes back to the U.S. And others have said only 70% of the money comes back. So they don't know. They don't care. It's not their money. And they don't care about you. They don't care about human life. Joe Biden also said something yesterday about more than 500,000 people having been killed in the war there and in Ukraine with the Russians. And that's a lowball estimate, I believe. I think there have been about 500,000 Russians killed, plus hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians. And the news media simply does not cover that war. They could care less. They're lefties in the news media, and they don't care about human life at all. Now, the Washington Post does have a phony story on the front page today. They've got Joe Biden in Normandy with Dr. Jill there before she got on the 757, flew home to sit in the courtroom with her crackhead stepson. And the headline next to that is Blackouts in Kiev as grid takes a hammering. Ruthless Russian strikes on power plants force rationing across nation. Now, the only reason that's on the front page is because Joe Biden is coughing up another $225 million. And they're saying it's for the power grid, because it costs $225 million to fix the power grid in Kiev, which is not Kiev. It's not Kiev. It's not Perry. It's not Makbar or München. It's Kiev. We all speak English here. And they should just count themselves as lucky that they can hang with us. Amazing stuff. Yeah, blackouts in Kiev as grid strikes. And hey, wait a minute. Thankfully, Joe Biden is promising $225 million to get that power grid in Kiev back up. Aren't we generous people? We genuinely are. We're the most giving, kind people. Man, oh, man. And Joe Biden, he is, I feel like, you know, Raymond Shaw is the most decent, powerful man I ever met. It's like the Manchurian candidate everywhere you look. Now, you know, Joe Biden is famous for doing a lot of stupid things. And I played the audio a little while ago where he said he's known Vladimir Putin for more than 40 years. 40 years ago, again, Vladimir Putin was not even a senior KGB agent. He was a junior KGB agent. He was assigned to Dresden in Germany, East Germany. And And then he went to East Berlin, naturally, because he was working his way up, killing people and throwing people off of rooftops and things like that, because he's a commie, and that's what commies do. And now the commies are here. But never mind that. Joe Biden is famous for a lot of ridiculous things. And one of the ridiculous things that he is famous for is saying that he saw a John Wayne movie years ago where John Wayne said something about somebody being a lion, dog-faced pony soldier. You may remember Joe Biden saying this.
That's the truth. Now, don't make a lie. As that scene in the John Wayne movie, don't make me a dog-faced lion, pony soldier.
A dog-faced lion, pony soldier. Isn't it a lion, dog-faced pony soldier? He gets his own quote wrong. He said this several times about the lion, dog-faced pony soldier, or the dog-faced lion, pony soldier, which he says from a John Wayne movie.
I was a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lion, dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were, but you're
a lion, dog-faced pony soldier, and he assured us that this is a John Wayne line from a John Wayne movie. And of course, nobody has been able to find the John Wayne movie where John Wayne or anybody else said this. And I think that the reason for that is that there is no John Wayne movie where somebody said, you're a lion, dog-faced pony soldier, but Joe Biden kept saying it.
The Indian looks at John Wayne and points to the Union Soldier and says, he's a lion, dog-faced pony soldier. Well, there's a lot of lion, dog-faced pony soldiers out there
Global warming. That was John Wayne talking about global warming to a Native American. pretty amazing. Turner Classic Movies the other night actually was doing a John Ford series, and they had great John Wayne movies, old black and white westerns, Stagecoach, The Searchers, great stuff. Great John Wayne movies, and there are many great John Wayne movies, and John Ford movies, of course, the director, but never mind that. And I actually watched, I was reading and things, but had them on in the background. Great stuff, great movies. And see them at home on the Jumbotron, you know, is really a lot of fun. 4K, Super HD, or whatever it is, all that stuff. But no lion, dog face, pony soldier, and that's because nobody can find this thing. Now my friend Brian was watching The Twilight Zone, watching the Rod Serling black and white Twilight Zone episodes, and he's watching an episode called The Purple Testament. The Purple Testament. It's a 1960, right? And it's full of great stuff. Dick Sargent from Bewitched was in there, one of the people. An army lieutenant serving in the Philippines during World War II develops a harrowing ability to see in the faces of the men in his platoon, the men who would be the next ones to die. It's, and it's a spooky 1960 war episode, and pretty good stuff. It's always great stuff, the old black and white Twilight Zones. And one of the characters in this Twilight Zone episode from 1960, the episode The Purple Testament, said this.
This is a lousy dog-faced line officer who can see death on people's faces.
Or a dog-faced line officer who's cracking out of the strain from having done too much and felt too much and finally having to succumb to it.
See, now, that we didn't edit that. That is how the two guys said it back to back. And we've come to the conclusion with Joe Biden's tiny little brain that doesn't work very well because she's a broke. She's a no good, that brain of his. And we're thinking maybe we finally found out where this came from. And being Joe Biden, he got it wrong, see, because why would he get it right? It's not lion, dog-faced, pony soldier, but it's got several of the elements.
This is a lousy dog-faced lion officer who can see death on people's faces.
Lousy dog-faced lion officer.
You're a lion, dog-faced, pony soldier.
See, we're thinking that maybe my friend Brian discovered where this Joe Biden thing came from because, you know.
Some have speculated,
you're a lion, dog-faced, that you
are subject to some degree of cognitive decline.
You're a lion, dog-faced pony soldier. I got to tell you, this boy is not fit to be president. We're an embarrassment to the world. We're an embarrassment to ourselves. Joe Biden is an embarrassment to bipedal mammals. He is not up to the task of being president. Everybody knows it. And, the Wall Street Journal wrote this piece the other day saying that Joe Biden talking to people inside the White House, Joe Biden has got CRS. He's got a case of CRS. Can't remember stuff. Can't remember stuff. And he nods off in meetings with congressional leaders, and then he mumbles and murmurs, and he uses cue cards and 3x5 index cards, and he doesn't know what he's doing. And even the Democrats from Capitol Hill, from Congress, and from the White House are saying, you know, yeah, you can't hear him. He mumbles. Nobody knows what he said in meetings with members of Congress. No big deal. It's just there are wars all over the world since he came in and all that. Quite remarkable. Yeah, so we think maybe we tracked down the origin, and it would make perfect sense that he just got it wrong. Just got it wrong. He heard this, and then he went to quote it back, and he naturally got it wrong. He says, wasn't that a John Wayne movie? No, it was a Twilight Zone episode. Didn't he say Lion, Dog Face, Pony Soldier? No, he didn't say Lion, Dog Face, Pony Soldier. He said,
for a dog-faced lion officer who's cracking out of the strain from having done too much and felt too much and finally having to succumb to it.
See, it's a military episode, so it's an officer. It's a military officer, and that's as close as it gets, but I think we've cracked the code on that. The CIA didn't crack the code on that. They just lied to us about the Hunter Biden laptop because the CIA has been corrupted by the left and the likes of John Penitentiary Face Brennan, the Communist Party voter, the Gus Hall voter that Barack Obama mentored by Communist Party member Frank Marshall Davis made CIA director, and then they tampered in our own elections. And my theory, my hypothesis, all along with the 51 intelligence officials and with Penitentiary Face Brennan being one of the miscreants leading the charge to deceive the American people, run what in military and intelligence circles they call an information operation against the American people to deceive the American people on the lead up to Election Day, and polls after Election Day found that if Americans had known about the Hunter Biden laptop, that their vote may have been different because big guy gets a 10% cut and China and Ukraine and all the shell companies and people might have voted differently. But the Communist Party voter, Penitentiary Face, he launched this information operation against the American people. And actually it was Anthony Blinken that got the ball rolling on this. And then he was given the plum slot Secretary of State in the entire Biden administration. He was with the Biden campaign at the time. He's like, hey, let's get the intelligence community to lie to the American people. And it's completely consequence-free when you're a Democrat, right? Remarkable stuff. And I'm going to get to, after the top of the hour, I'm going to get to the update on the lying about the Hunter Biden laptop and all the liars that lied to us, so you'll know who to not trust ever again. That's coming up. Yeah, but Penitentiary Face Brennan, my hypothesis is that he's always hated the United States of America, being a lefty and a Communist Party voter. He's always hated the United States, and the CIA has, over the years, tampered in many elections overseas, many foreign elections, right? And I think that, remember when Jeremiah Wright, Barack Obama's spiritual guidepost, the man who presided over the marriage of Barack and Michelle Obama, what a farce, and baptized the children, the Obama children. He said that September 11th was our chickens coming home to roost. Remember that? And I think John Brennan thinks tampering, the CIA tampering in our election here in the United States, is our chickens coming home to roost. It's our comeuppance that we deserve. It's blowback, right? Because now our CIA is run by a commie who is undermining our elections here, and that's our payback for tampering in elections, particularly during the Cold War, particularly in third world countries where the Soviets had their candidates and we didn't want the pro-Soviet candidates to win. So we would tamper in their elections through the CIA to make sure that the less bad actor won the election. And then they tampered in our election. And there are no consequences because there are commies everywhere.
America's chickens coming home to roost.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
You've You've heard a lot about saving unborn babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. Let me be honest with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, one of the nation's leaders in showing mothers with unplanned pregnancies their babies. And once mom hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she could be twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. If we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is entirely dependent on us. Preborn has already rescued over 280,000 unborn babies. They help provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28. $140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Just call #250 on your cell and use the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/plant. That's preborn.com/plant.
A healthy weight, more energy, and smooth, regular bowel movements. Three things everyone strives for.
It's me, Chuck Norris. There's one really important thing we don't talk about enough. Our health. Achy joints, digestive issues, weight gain, and fatigue. We're told these are normal signs of aging. So working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick.
Morning Kick is a revolutionary formula combining 10 different supplements in one. Probiotics that help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and several of the most powerful anti-aging supplements on Earth. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, focused, and help manage stress.
Anybody can achieve great health regardless of their age.
Go to RoundHouseProvisions.com. Use code COMBO or text COMBO to 511-511 and claim 40% off today.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee.
Text COMBO to 511-511. Morning Kick.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Roundhouse Provisions.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days. All in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
From groan-worthy dad jokes to patching up skinned knees, your one-of-a-kind dad deserves a gift guaranteed to take him to his happy place. Show him the love with a gift as unforgettable as he is. Omaha Steaks. Order the deluxe Father's Day gift package at omahasteaks.com. 20 unforgettable entrees plus 4 free burgers for just $89.99 when you use promo code SIZZLE at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. Code SIZZLE at checkout.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-894-6680. That's 800-894-6680. Again, 800-894-6680.
Returned. After the top of the hour on the other side of the news, I'm going to share with you a lot on the Hunter Biden laptop, one of the biggest lies ever told by the biggest liars in the world. And, you know, the truth is the most important thing anywhere, just by the way. But right now, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Mike calling from Eddyville, Kentucky, listening on Al Gore's Amazing Internet. Mike, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris, hi. Thanks. I didn't expect to speak to you. I enjoy your show greatly. I only called when I was hearing Biden's continuum of the story of the dog-faced pony soldier. And I'll tell you, I don't watch much TV. I didn't watch much TV growing up. I went in the Navy, became a cryptologist and an air crew, a member on E2 Charlie for quite a while. So thanks
all right.
to your,
okay.
for you. And, but I'm 60 years old, and I've begun to relive my childhood through purchasing these series DVD collections. And after watching them thoroughly, and some of the modern ones, there's an episode that occurs in the middle of The Munsters, one of my favorites, where Herman Munster gets lost, and he himself finds his way to civilization, and he goes into a Marine Corps depot. And he goes in and he causes fuss because he's Herman Munster. He's, you know,
sure.
sort of like the Terry Ratline family. And he comes out escorted by the Marines because the family is pulling in and they've arranged to meet him. And he says to the two escorting Marines, left and right, he says, "Oh, thank you. You are two of the nicest dog-faced pony soldiers I've ever met." Now, in Sanford and Son, as I'm getting to the end of that series, and I watched the end, about three episodes from the end, they hospitalized Fred Sanford because he's claimed to have seen a crime and been badgered by gangs in his L.A.
I'm running out of time on you. Real quick.
Okay. In that episode, the police are keeping him abreast of the developments, and they're...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.